Welcome to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from April 3rd, 2002.
From the high desert in the great American Southwest, I bid you all good evening, good morning, good afternoon, wherever you may be in the world covered by this program. All 24 time zones, the program Coast to Coast AM, and I'm Art Bell. Glad to be here. It's going to be a very, very, very interesting night in more ways than one. First, I'd like to welcome a brand new affiliate. Yes, yet another one. WTKS in Savannah, Georgia. That's a good place, Savannah, Georgia. 1290 on the dial. And I'd like to thank the general manager there, Jerry Stevens, and the PD, Shea Singleton. Great to be on the air in Savannah. And I hope you enjoy it when you find out truly how weird it is. I'm Art Bell. Now, our website is approaching a landmark, I'm sure never in my lifetime, to be repeated figure of 100 million visitors. And the best thing I can do, we're going to give away some prizes, just simple little prizes. Let me see here. Just let me read you what Keith wrote, because he put it so well, and it will help you understand what's about to happen. Keith wrote, so we're coming up on the 100 millionth visitor to the site. Quite an accomplishment. For the record, the current counter was started at zero in January of 1997. While the website did exist before then, I never carried forward the hits from previous incarnations of the site. Only when I was able to write an accurate counter, accurate in capital letters, did I keep track of it. When Art Bell came out of retirement, I reset the counter back to what it was when he left, thereby removing any hits during the Siegel era. A prize has been donated. Bob Crane of the C. Crane Company has offered a brand new CC radio to the 100th. You say that so infrequently. That's such a big number. 100 millionth visitor. So they get a CC radio. Another prize has been donated by Mark Easter of Easter Films, who will gladly send a complimentary copy of Roswell, The Naked Truth Revealed, autographed by himself. Ramona and myself, I think, are going to add, I should put in here, that we'll send out an autographed KNYE t-shirt. We don't ever normally, of course, send those outside of the area for, you know, for obvious reasons. They're for people who listen to KNYE in the local area, but we'll make an exception here and send out an autographed. We'll both autograph a t-shirt and send it to the winner, too. So that's the bones that we are tossing to number 100 million. Also, we may actually hide the counter from view on the page when it approaches the 100 million mark so you can't snipe it. We want all visitors to have an equal shot at being the winner. The website will still count the visit in our log files, but may not display on the site. You remember we did this also with our 666 count when we froze it, but kept track of all the ongoing hits in the background. So if you see approaching 100 million on the page, you'll know why. It's been up there, actually, for the last half hour or so, or hour. Also keep in mind, if you're sitting there just pressing refresh over and over, you probably will miss the right screen and go right by it. Then you'll not get the information to report back to us. In other words, the winner is going to get a special screen. And you're going to know it's you, but if you're sitting there hitting refresh, boom, 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 you might go right by it. You might have been the 100 millionth visitor and have gone right by it, so it could be missed. In fact, if we determine that you were abusing our server by repeatedly attacking our homepage, we will disqualify you. We do log all accesses and have already blocked several who have started to cheat. So it's okay to come back, obviously, every few minutes or so and check the site, see if you can win. That's okay with me. But those who jam the F5 key and submit 10 hits per second are not going to win. Let's have fun, but not irritate the system administrators. Now, for some of the rules we need to deal with, so that you all know what's going on here, so it's fair. Due to the many varied methods of web traffic, proxies, caches, and so forth, we may not have any winner, or may have several. An automated search engine spider program might be the winner, or If the 100 millionth website page hit is cached in a proxy server, many people may see the 100 millionth page. In the case of many hits, the first one to follow the instructions and contact us will be the winner. In case no real human gets the correct page, I will reset the trigger to look for another specific count, and we'll do so until we get a winner. It'll have to be close enough. The web is a complicated beast. Okay, so that's it. If you think any more rules or issues that we have to deal with, I'll add them here. Good luck, Keith Webmaster, for the greatest website and radio. Well, we are that. We certainly are that. So I think Keith is going to unleash the counter very shortly here, and we'll just all watch it. It's probably going to happen tonight. So I'm going to watch the counter myself and see when it begins again, and we'll see who wins. Remember now, you will get you're going to get a special screen, just the 100 millionth person, or the first one to report they've got it with a code word and all kinds of things. So don't sit there hitting refresh again and again and again faster than you could stop, because you're just, you know, you might blow right by it, and that would be something to blow by. So anyway, coming up on 100 million. Now, I'm going to do something tonight that I don't frequently do. In fact, I've never done it. A detective called me, and because I have so many of you who are in trucks out there, truckers, and this is so serious, I am going to read the entire message from this detective. Allow me to give you a brief history of what has happened. On 2-10-02, Christopher Fagan, pronounced F-E-G-A-N, Fagan, I guess, violated a temporary protection order, stalking his girlfriend. The suspect went to her parents' house where she was staying and broke into the house. The suspect shot the girl's mother in the shoulder and fought with her stepfather. The stepfather died of knife wounds to the neck he received during the fight. The mother was tracked down in the house and shot again in the back of the head while she was on the phone with 911 dispatch. The suspect fled the area and was last seen in Truckee, California on the 10th. The FBI helped secure a small teaser at the beginning of America's Most Wanted, which aired 3902. But from this five-second teaser, we learned the suspect had traveled to Mobile, Alabama. The case probably isn't sexy, in quotes, enough for much more on the program at this time. The suspect has since left Mobile and is a suspected of several crimes in that area. It is our belief he has traveled to Florida and is blending in with the spring break crowds. All of this could no longer be true, and it could be somewhere else, of course. Going on, I believe the suspect traveled to the southeast via Interstate 10 from California. The suspect is believed to have used truckers for transportation. Several trucking-related websites have assisted and posted safety notices on their sites. Trucking related radio programs are airing safety information about the suspect. They are the ones who suggested contacting you, meaning me, for assistance. My request of you is, on your program, will you let the truckers and late-night travelers please know about this suspect? He is still armed, considered dangerous. The handgun he used to commit the attempted homicide of the girl's mother, yes, she is still alive and doing pretty well, is thought to have been sold or perhaps traded. We know he has another handgun that he stole from a subject in Alabama. I know about the close relationship you have with the Nye County Sheriff's Office, and I don't wish to impose. I don't want to turn your radio program into a radio version of America's Most Wanted. Obviously, this detective wants the word out to you truckers, so I think it's serious enough that I'm doing this. I've included the Las Vegas FBI link to the wanted poster for Fagan, as well some additional information not on the poster. Also have included a 24-hour phone number where I may be contacted. And I will not give out other numbers that I have here. So here we go. If you're a trucker, please listen closely. The suspect was last seen in Mobile, Alabama, Friday, March 8th. Suspect is believed to be hitchhiking. May have come from Southern California via 10 Alabama. Suspect is considered armed and dangerous. The suspect is a heavy drinker and gambler. He changes his appearance with little trouble. The suspect is an avid snowboarder and often speaks of it to date. He's used various names, including Jack Johnson, Jack Jackson, Christopher Allen, Alan Fagan, and JJ. Any information, contact the FBI office or a law enforcement agency nearest you. So we've got Christopher A. Fagan, age 23, white male American, height 6 feet, weight 180, hair brown, bleached white, but now cut short, and dark brown hair is visible. Suspect's hair color changes easily. His eyes are blue. Suspect killed one. Second victim is stable now. Suspect is known to have had at least one .357 caliber revolver in his possession. The weapon may have been sold or traded, but another weapon is now thought to be in his possession. Suspect is an avid snowboarder and has instructed at several local ski areas and talks about snowboarding. Well, obviously, contact local law enforcement or the Douglas County Sheriff's Department. Obviously, with as many truckers as listen to this program, I wanted to be Doug. I'm sure you heard about this very, very, very dangerous situation for you out there on the road. We'll be right back.
Streamlink, the audio subscription service of Coast to Coast AM, has a new name, Coast Insider. You'll still get all the same great features for the same low price, just 15 cents a day when you sign up for 1 year. The package includes podcasting, which offers the convenience of having shows downloaded automatically to your computer or MP3 player, and the iPhone app with live and on-demand programs. You'll also get our amazing download library of 3 full years of shows. Just think, as a new subscriber, over 1,000 shows will be available for you to collect, enjoy, and listen to at your leisure. Plus, you'll get streamed and on-demand broadcasts of Art Bell's Somewhere in Time shows and 2 weekly classics. And as a member, you'll have access to our monthly live chat sessions with George Norrie and special guests. If you're a fan of Coast, you won't want to be without Coast Insider. Visit coasttocoastam.com to sign up today. Explore your universe with Coast to Coast AM and George Norrie.
If this was up to you, would you go back to the moon or would you go straight to Mars?
That's not even the question I would ask. There could be scientific reasons to go to one destination, geopolitical reasons to go to another. There could be tourist business reasons to go. Maybe you want to mine an asteroid. And so then when you reach that state, then the solar system becomes your backyard. And now you have the freedom to go where you want. That's what a spacefaring nation needs to do.
Now we take you back to the night of April 3rd, 2002, on Art Bell, Somewhere in Time.
Coming up in the next hour, I just hit the website. Here we go. Let's see. Where are we? All right, the numbers are up. We're at 99,990,103. As I just hit it. So we are, a little less than 10,000 hits away from the 100 million mark. Whoever you are, the very first person who can get to Keith Rowland, I would keep it on your screen. By the way, if you get the magic screen, I would keep it on there, if I were you. And of course, barring that, I think there's a way you can hit print. You can print your screen. That would be ideal. Or go get a camera and take a picture of your screen. The first person to get that magic screen and contact Keith Rowland by email is going to be the winner. And so I suppose sometime tonight we might know who the winner is. I don't know. Let me hit refresh myself. And, 5,000 away. So it's at 99,995,487. Ha, 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 ha. You can tell that it's really in there pumping. We had 5,000 hits. We're only counting, and by the way, to give you an idea of the magnitude of hitting 100 million, take into account what Keith had to say about what he actually removed during the period of time I was gone. And keep in mind the fact that we only count main page hits. We're not counting hits to auxiliary pages, but main page hits only. So these numbers really are astronomical. 100 million is astronomical. Let me see. It's going berserk up there right now, and I'm having a hard time getting a return from the main page myself. So many people are hitting it. In fact, now, wouldn't that be a kick if we... Oh, here it comes. I was going to say, if we totally clobber the server just before we get to 100 million, that would be something. It still has not completely reloaded. It's being hit so hard. Hear me out there. If you sit there hitting reload, 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 you're going to miss it. Then you've got a high chance of really missing it altogether. I mean, you'll see a flash of the magic screen, and it'll be gone. You will have missed it. Now, I can't even get the page to reload right now. Maybe we'll die before we get to 100 million. We'll just, you know, the servers will go... Because I can't get it to reload right now. That's how many people are hitting it. And, of course, it was 5,000 in about, about 2 minutes. And I've got real fast internet here, so it's the server that's having a hard time coming back. Oh, my. Well, let me see. Can I even get it to reload? My God, there must be a lot of people hitting that server. So even our bandwidth is 100 gig. I mean, we've got more bandwidth than nearly any other site you can imagine. We've just got a gigantic pipeline, but obviously it has stopped. So we're going to all just have to watch it very carefully. Well, let's see. Where the real scary news. Oh, we've got a scary program coming up tonight. The GIS people are here, and you know what they do, right? They record the voices of the dead. And these are the voices of the dead. It is an eerie, weird, bizarre show to listen to. But this organization, which is beyond reproach, you know, they don't accept money. They're not selling anything. They do what they go into graveyards and, you know, into all kinds of interesting places. And they take these tape recorders with brand new tapes. I mean, there's a certain set of rules to what they do. And they record the voices of the dead. EVP is a well-known phenomenon. It's been around for probably as many years as I have. There were researchers before these researchers, but these researchers are very, very serious about what they do. And what you will hear is chilling, interesting. It's kind of almost an extension of what we're doing this week in a way. And, you know, Friday night, this Friday, I'm going to do a ghost-to-ghost AM show. I decided ghost-to-ghost is going to be this Friday. What is today, anyway? Wednesday, right? Thursday in some places. And so we're going to do Ghost to Ghost, and it's a very serious ghost show we do, and I think it's probably appropriate that we do it with the news of the week and the way the week has gone so far. What an absolutely fascinating program, both Monday night and Tuesday night as well. Mr. Schwartz, you know, when you add up, what Dr. Schwartz said last night, if you really listened, really has to affect your thinking about the fact that there are ghosts, that all of this is not tomfoolery, that it's absolutely, totally, completely real. And the reason it's real is because there is life after death. There absolutely is life after death. I think last night's show nailed that one to the wall. Well, I still can't get into the page. And so... A network error occurred. Huh. A network error. Now let me try it from scratch here and see what happens. We may have blown up the servers. If we did before 100 million, I think that's a riot. You know, obviously at some point we'll get them back up and going. But near as I can tell, it's deader than a doornail right now. It just figures this would happen, huh? It's the law of unintended consequences. You remember we did that show about unintended consequences? The show which blew itself off the air? Well, you know, when you're doing something like this, you get, obviously, unintended consequences. Now, I can't hit sight. That's all right. Sometime during the program tonight, somebody will go put the parts back together at the server location, wherever that is. back up on the web, yep. A network error occurred. That's the message I'm getting. So at this point, unless it happened, and it could have happened, you know, before it went belly up, although I don't think it did. So I was looking at the 5,000 mark as I had just re-clicked. So who knows? Anyway, that story, folks. We broke our own servers in an attempt to get to 100 million. We'll get there sometime tonight. Make no mistake about that. From the high desert, I'm Art Bell, and this is Coast to Coast AM. We'll go over 100 million as soon as we get it fixed.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time, on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight's an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from April 3rd, 2002. Come off me. Somewhere in Time, tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from April 3rd, 2002.
Welcome to the program, those of you who join at this hour. Anything is possible tonight, anything at all. Who knows? But then again, that's kind of the way I like it.
Now we take you back to the night of April 3rd, 2002 on Art Bell, Somewhere in Time.
Everybody, we've got a winner. We have a winner, I believe, and I've got the winner on the phone. He is, give us your name.
Mark Zewe.
Mark Zewe, right?
Yes.
Z-E-Z-E-W-E?
Correct.
Mark, you really did it?
I have it up here on the screen in front of me.
You do?
I do.
You and so, what is it you have on the screen in front of you?
I have a screen, and it has says Art Bell, 100 million web visitors. It has a bunch of stars, your pictures in the background.
Yes.
I'm nervous. First radio show, number one radio show, and Starman down in the corner.
Really?
Yeah.
You see, I haven't seen that screen.
I'm
right
going
now.
To email it to you guys.
And then it has LUR. It has a secret. It has a secret word on it.
Well, that was on a prior screen.
That was on a prior screen.
Yeah. You want me to tell you what the secret word was?
No.
Okay. Well.
No. Yeah. Go ahead. What the hell?
It's your favorite song, Phaedra.
Phaedra.
Uh
huh. Ha 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 ha! What an interesting secret word. Phaedra was a very, very unlucky Greek goddess. You know. Mm.
I love the song.
Where are you, Mark?
I'm in Madera, California,
California.
Is about 20 miles north of Fresno.
Okay, now, how were you trying to be the winner? I mean, I And as it got down there, I couldn't even get in anymore. And then the next thing I looked, we were 8,000 over 100 million. Now we're 16,000 and counting over 100 million. Well, how in heaven's name, what were you doing?
I was surfing, playing around, and I went up there because I listened to your radio at night, and I heard you talking about it. I heard you said it was, like, up high, real high, so I just went over there, and it clicked on, and I had to refresh a couple times, and next day I knew I was there. And we made that so like Willy Wonka. I got the golden ticket.
So you just refreshed a couple of times?
Yeah, probably about four or five times.
Because, you know, there were people up there attacking it like crazy.
Well, I see that. Every time I refreshed, it was so much more up.
Well, I'll be damned. Congratulations
Thank
to you.
Amazing.
The name Fader. You get a free CC radio.
Oh, wow.
Becoming your way. You get, a complimentary copy of Roswell, The Naked Truth Revealed, autographed by the Mark Easter, actually, of Easter Films. And we're going to send you a KNYA T-shirt autographed by myself and Ramona and who knows what all. So
fantastic.
All I can say is, hey, brother, congratulations.
I can't believe it's 100 million visitor.
Yeah, yeah, that's kind of like
Lord.
That's kind of like hitting the lottery.
Yeah, I think so.
Was anybody there with you?
No, I have a couple family members here, but a couple of them are in bed already. They don't care. But,
so when you hit it, what did you do, scream?
Yeah, I did. I said, I did it. I can't believe it. My brother-in-law was going on his way to bed, and I said, wait, you got to see this.
Well, listen, congratulations, Mark.
Thank you. I enjoy your show, Art.
That's truly a... Listen, there will never be a 200 millionth visitor.
I believe that.
Yeah. So congratulations to you.
I'm a graphic designer, so I did this JPEG for you. I'll send it off to Keith right now.
All right. So you're actually sending the...
The screen. I actually took a digital photo, took a shot of my computer.
So
all the clutter, and you'll see this on there.
Way to go.
Yeah, you'll love it.
Way to go, Mark. So that'll be on the way. How soon?
Soon as I hang up.
All right, then we will look for that to. Keith will look for that to arrive, and the minute it gets here, we'll put it up so everybody can see it.
Cool.
What the winner saw.
It's amazing. Well, first it was the black screen.
Yeah, I understand.
With all the codes, and now you got this really cool screen up here. You got me worried because I thought. You said there could have several people could have had this, so I was rushing to get it in.
Oh, well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Take care.
God bless.
Okay, that's Mark Zewi of Madera, California, the 100 millionth visitor. Whew. So when he gets his screen up there, we'll put it up for you. That's really pretty cool. 100 million hits. 100 million hits. Okay. News of the day, such as it is, Israeli tanks rolling all over the West Bank. They're in Nablus now, as a matter of fact. They were at the point where Jesus was born. I was there. And as you stand there and you look across the street, there's a big picture of Yasser Arafat graffitied upon the wall on the other side in Bethlehem. And so all of that's kind of hard to imagine. And where this is headed, I don't know. I really don't know. This could be headed to a full-fledged war. Or Israel could continue to act for the next week or two. Behind the scenes, it may well be that George Bush has told the Israelis, look, go clean up what you can clean up in a week or two, and then this has to stop. I don't know. This is the way things get out of hand. Now, I would think that would be the private arrangement, probably. In other words, what's Bush to do? He's looking at the suicide bombers, and he's probably telling Israel, look, we understand your right to self-defense. Go clean them out as best you can, but this can't be allowed to become World War III. I think that's kind of how you'd put it, don't you? Each side, of course, accusing the other of blocking the way to peace. And Israel saying it will not stop moving until the suicide bombings are halted. Getting worse. So, listen, one of the 300 prisoners the U.S. military is holding in Cuba is now saying that he was born in Louisiana to Saudi parents. And he's an American. The claim, should it be true, could lead to his transfer to the detention center at a Navy base. That would make a whole different deal if he's a U.S. citizen. So, That's kind of what's going on. You know, the market down again, Dow closed, oh my God, 115 points down to 10,198. NASDAQ down 20. There are comets coming. On March 18th, just as newly found comet Ikiwa-Zhang was making its closest approach to the sun and wowing observers around the northern hemisphere, I don't know if you've seen the photos yet, yet another Japanese observer discovered yet another new comet. The second comet has an outside chance of also becoming visible to the unaided eye sometime later this month. The International Astronomical Union reported on March 20th the discovery of a comet in twilight. This Japanese man made his findings using a 25 by 150 binocular. He initially described the comet as a 10th magnitude glow in the constellation Pegasus. Several days later, a preliminary orbit for the newly named comet indicated that it would reach its closest approach to the sun on April 23rd. So, the comets, boss, the comets, they're coming. Yet another comet on the way. A lot of people see a lot of things in times when you get a lot of comets. Comets portend interesting change. This was I've got so much, obviously, because of what we did tonight. Didn't have time to properly lay out the first hour. I thought I'd read this to you, though. Interesting. Dear Art, short. It's good and short. I haven't yet heard you mention this, but did you know that on Paul Harvey's Saturday broadcast, he reported the discovery of warps in space and another dimension. Same things we've heard about on your show for years now. He said that within 3 years, and he repeated 3 years, we would all be forced to change our ideas about space and the way it works. I was rather astounded to hear this from such a mainstream journalist, and such a respected one at that, Bev and Eugene. Thanks, Bev. Yes, well, through the years, the listeners who have been to the listeners to this program for a decade or better know that that has been consistently true throughout my tenure, that what you have heard here many times sounding wacky and, you know, very much like science fiction at the time you hear it, later proves to be absolutely true. And I could count, oh my, I could count many, many things in the area of the paranormal that all of a sudden, or even during my tenure, and that's a short one relatively, relative to everything else, right? A decade, 15 years, whatever. That's not long. Maybe a decade of doing this kind of show. In that period of time, how many things have become reality that were virtually just science fiction prior to that. Amazing. It is indeed quickening out there, folks. All right, let's take a couple of calls. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello.
Hi there.
Good evening.
Good evening to you, sir. Where are you?
Montana. My name's
okay.
Ralph.
Montana. Okay, Ralph.
I wanted to do a follow-up call. You had a gentleman on last fall that was talking about digging up a cave in Illinois.
That's right.
I wonder if you could provide a little follow-up information.
Actually, right this second, I can't. I don't know what the current status is, what else they've dug up, whether they've been back there or anything else. So I would have to go back, and I will do so, to one of the parties. You know, there's a lot of fighting going on about that. A lot of researchers, sir, you may or may not know this, and if you don't, then let everybody know at the same time. A lot of researchers on those caves, those Illinois caves,
yes,
they're fighting like dogs. I mean, they're fighting like dogs. They're all making claims and calling each other names, and, you know, I guess it's all, I don't know what it's all over. I guess credit, you know, for the find, or beats me, but they're all going after each other tooth and nail.
So as far as you know, he hadn't actually gone below ground.
The answer is, I don't know what the status is.
Okay,
but,
well,
I'll find out.
Appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Okay, you're very welcome. Take care. On the first-time caller line, you're on the air. Extinguish your radio and proceed.
I already got it off, Art.
All right.
See, Art, first-time calling line, obviously.
Where are you?
St. Cloud, Minnesota.
Okay.
My name's Patrick.
Glad to have you, Patrick.
Thank you very much. Well, I've been listening to you since 1999, before the whole Y2K thing, and I've been hooked ever since.
Yes, sir.
I never thought I'd be this nervous, though.
It's not bad. It takes you a few minutes, and then it's just like a phone call, you know?
Yeah, the heart rate's already slowing down.
Yeah, good.
Anyways, I called about that fish that you got up on your website.
You know, he put it up calling it funny fish, and I guess that's what the person in the email called it. But there's nothing very funny about it in a lot of ways. It's kind of sick. I mean, it's like one head and two bodies.
Yeah, it's a mutation of a northern pike. I live right on the Mississippi River. I've been fishing it ever since I've been 10 years old.
Well, you know, if I caught something like that,
yeah,
I'd probably throw my whole rod and reel back in the water.
Oh, yeah, well, you know, there's plenty of those in the river.
You know,
most people get mad all the time. Just
yeah.
Chuck them right in.
I'm sure. Well, it wouldn't be out of anger. I mean, let's say you caught what you're looking at there.
Sure.
Would you eat that?
No, I wouldn't eat that. I'd actually mount that one.
I wouldn't eat that. Yeah, mount it. That's right. There you go. Mount it, I suppose.
I've been eating the fish out of the river for a number of years. You know, it's this far north, there's not a lot of pollution in the Mississippi River because St. Cloud's pretty much central Minnesota, north central. There is a lot of, what are they saying is in the river nowadays?
You know, now...
Ladies' birth control pills. These ladies, they ingest them and they urinate or whatever, and those chemicals are going into the river and mutating the male fish.
You think that's what's happening? Oh, you know, looking at this fish, it's one head and it's two fish bodies, but it's got two fins. Now, I wonder if a fish, you know, like a boat with two propellers, would be going faster.
You know, that's what I thought, too. I mean, are both these bodies swimming in the same direction? You know, that's what I was thinking.
Pretty much. In fact, it's a fairly even split there, so you would think that any fin motion would drive the fish forward, more or less, straight ahead, and maybe at more of... So this must have been a fast fish.
Fast fish. Well, northerns do grow quick. Start it with the frogs. Now I guess it's going to start with the fish.
Well,
I haven't seen a mutated frog in quite some time now, though.
Good.
So that is a good sign.
All right. Well, listen, I appreciate your call, sir.
Yeah, well, hey, thank you very much.
You take care. Hit 100 million tonight. 100 million, folks. Man, that's a big number, 100 million. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Art.
Yes.
My radio is now pre-extinguished.
Pre-extinguished.
How are you this evening? This is Al from Chatsworth.
Yes, Al.
And I hit 4,706 over 100 million. So what do I get?
Not a damn thing, Al.
I'm just kidding. The main reason, first of all, congratulations to the person who won.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
At least he's in the same state as me, so.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. And we're all going to get, what's going to be fun is we're all going to get to see the screen that he saw.
Great.
So.
Question I have, not only, I'm a resident of Southern California, but I'm also a property owner out in Logandale, Nevada.
Okay.
That's over probably the mountain range from you.
Right.
Question I have is, eventually I want to retire out there. And I was wondering on these lonely, clear nights, what I'm able to maybe see out there. I know you've seen some interesting things. I was wondering, you know.
In what categories?
Well, anything of the unusual, for example. You know, I'm sure you've seen, you know,
yes.
Lights that stop.
The answer is a straight out yes. All right? No question about it. Number one, I don't know, you could cover any category. Number one, our skies here are so gigantic, so big, so clear, with such low humidity, that on a summer night, you have never in your life, if you're from a city, make it out here and see it sometime. It is the most breathtaking. I mean, from one horizon to the other goes the Milky Way, and the stars are so deep, it's like you're in a new universe. It's an incredible place, the high desert.
Now, how far am I, to give me like a rough estimate from like Area 51? I know you're real close. Am I now Logandale, Overton? I'm near Lake Mead. Is that east or west?
Well,
you're
pretty close. I've been up in the Overton area.
Uh-huh.
We spent a couple nights in Overton, so that's north
up
of Las Vegas. And to answer the second part of your question, you're close enough. Let's put it that way. To answer the second part of your question, sir.
Yes.
You have seen many interesting, unidentified, intriguing, and occasionally scary things in the sky here. So that's what you have to look forward to.
Well, like I said, I visit there at least about 3-4 times a year. I have a renter out there right now.
All right.
And I'm a free and clear property owner, which I'm pretty happy of. So.
Well, good for you. You can still get property here at a reasonable rate.
And Nevada is a great state with no income tax, and I already that's a win-win.
You're dead right about all of that. Thank you very, very much. As a matter of fact, a little town I live that is a burgeoning town, Pahrump, Nevada. is a stupendous place to live in so many different ways. It's impossible to describe. And, you know, it's not for everybody. I understand a lot of people are city dwellers, and I'm speaking to many city dwellers right now. And a lot of city dwellers, when they come out here, they go, oh, God, what's this? I'm not comfortable with this. This is, where is everything? Where are the trees? Where is everything? I can't handle this. Too much openness. Well, people from this area, from the high desert, have exactly the opposite reaction when they go into the city. They feel extremely claustrophobic, all closed in, and you just can't see any kind of horizon. And this town, Brum, Nevada, once not long ago was voted as having the best sunrises and sunsets in the country. We have spectacular sunsets here. Just incredible sunsets here, and it's just a very different kind of place. So that's what you have to look forward to. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Morning, Art.
Hi, where are you?
I'm in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Yes, sir.
My name is Chris. Just wanted to say thanks for the clip on the website of the high dive event at Kabul.
Oh, the high dive event at Kabul. Yes, yes, I remember that.
Yes, I'm in the United States Air Force Reserve, the 934 Security Forces Squadron.
Okay.
And, I am sitting out on the ramp listening to your program right now.
On the ramp?
Yes, sir.
What kind of work do you do, actually?
It's security police.
Oh, you're security police, okay.
Yes, I'm a cop in the Air Force.
Uh-huh. Were you going to follow that career when you get out?
I don't know. I got a tantalizing job offer with a telecommunications company, and I think I might pursue that. The pay is a little better.
Uh-huh.
That and getting shot isn't an option there.
Getting it, probably won't get shot that way. Yeah, I can hear the radio going in the background, yep. Which I just covered up. Well, listen, it's great to have you on board. I was Air Force, and how happy are you in the military right now?
Well, I'd be a whole lot happier if we got deployed somewhere right now.
And you've been in how long?
I've got about 8 years now. I came over from the Army about 2 years ago.
Oh, you've got 8 years in?
Yep.
And you're gonna jump?
No, I came over from the Army.
No. I mean, you're gonna jump out before 20?
Oh, no. I'll stay in the reserves.
Okay. All right. Well, listen, thank you for your call. We got a break. Okay. We've got the end of the hour here.
Oh, thank you, sir.
Thank you and good night. 100 million. 100 million. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time, tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from April 3rd, 2002. Networks presents Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight's program originally aired April 3rd, 2002.
Again, congratulations to our 100 millionth visitor, Mark Zewie, of Madera, California. And we're going to have the evidence of the screenshot up there shortly, who was the exact 100 millionth visitor to the site. By the way, we're now 35,000 over that mark. That was absolutely wild. We even know who the 1,000,001 visitor was. It's Dave from Des Moines, Iowa. And I won't identify him any further than that, but we do know who the next one was. But the lucky one who got the code name, hey, what a wonderful, you see, I didn't make that up. I didn't know what the code name was. Keith came up with it. The code name was Phaedra. Phaedra, that very unlucky Greek goddess, but very, very lucky for Mark Zewie. That's incredible. All right, we are about to enter, in more ways than one, a very, really different world. The world of electronic voice phenomena. Now, electronic voice phenomena has been around, basically since Edison, I guess. I think there was rumors of that. Anyway, I'm having on the Ghost Investigator Society. Brendan Cook, Barbara Macbeth represent the society here on the air. There are 2 of 5 members at RGIS. Society is a nonprofit. They don't sell anything. The GIS members have spent thousands of hours and dollars dedicated to researching the ghost phenomena. They realize EVP is one of the most controversial aspects of ghost research and that there are many speculations and theories about the spectral voices that have been recorded on audio and videotape. The GIS members believe the voices they have recorded are the voices of the dead. Most of the time, these voices interact and respond to the members that record them. In an effort to educate the public about ghosts, the GIS hopes the EVPs presented will help demonstrate that the consciousness that we all have does survive after the body dies, and that these voices may help to give a different perspective about life, death, and ghosts. Indeed, we've been getting that perspective this week, and I will continue the tradition this Friday. We will do a full-fledged ghost-to-ghost program. That means ghost stories from all of you. And as I told my guest last night, they aren't real hard to get. Now, of course, you got to go for the good ones, and so I'm going to be going for the very best ghost stories. It's one of those times when I actually do, to some degree, personally, screen the calls. Because we want the very best. There are so many out there. I think for me, as I mentioned to my guest last night, the threshold regarding the existence or the continuance of consciousness for me has been passed. And so then what you're obviously about to hear tonight is, if you've been tracking with me, unnerving, scary. Why hopeful? Because you're going to continue. If you believe what you hear, you will continue. So in a sense, it's hopeful, depending on your attitude about continuing. You know, I don't know how you feel about that. There are people out there who just hope for nothing more than the great eternal blackness, the eternal slice of death, but it doesn't look like that's what it's all about. So this is what we're going to be talking about tonight. What you're going to hear is going to be a little frightening. At one point, there's going to be some pretty bad language used, and so I'll caution any of you. You know, we're on at the hour where we can let this go in context, and it certainly is context. The EVP, in this case, utters a four-letter word, and I'm going to let it go. So if you have children around, you might want to get them out of the room. That'll be later in the show anyway, and it'll be in the middle of the night in almost every area of the country. Time we've done that, we've asked about it, frequently before, and this language is used apparently on the other side. So it's fascinating. Coming right up, if you will just simply not move, what you might want to do, turn the lights down a little bit. Turn the lights down low and turn the radio up a little bit, because what you're about to hear is going to astound you.
Coast to Coast AM is happy to announce that our website is now optimized for mobile device users, specifically for the iPhone and Android platforms. Now, you'll be able to connect to most of the offerings of the Coast website on your phone in a quick and streamlined fashion. And if you're a Coast insider, you'll have our great subscriber features right on your phone, including the ability to listen to live programs and stream previous shows. No special app is necessary to enjoy our new mobile site. Simply visit coasttocoastam.com on your iPhone or Android browser. Looking for the truth? You'll find it on Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
I think now as we look back, we can probably say with pretty good certainty that some people in government might have been aware of what was going on, and they turned their cheek the other way just to let it happen. I also believe that some bigger groups got involved with Al-Qaeda to do what they did on that horrible day. This wasn't just a small group of people who came in and did their thing. There was a much bigger picture there. And if you see the events that have unfolded since this tragedy occurred, how we've lost rights, how we used it to go into Afghanistan and Iraq, and how it has really not stopped, because it's going to continue. We're going to have more and more episodes and more involvement in other countries. And just mark my word, this planet is going through an incredible change. And thank God we've got you here to talk with us about it.
Now we take you back to the night of April 3rd, 2002, on Art Bell, Somewhere in Time.
Okay, let me quickly do a reload myself and check. We're going to get the screen of the winner up there. No, we don't have it yet. Probably in the next half hour, we'll have the screen up that the winner saw. A lot of people are seeing the screen we've got up there says Art Bell 100 million web visitors. That's not it. There was a special screen that this one single person got to see. Actually, I guess a couple. But the first one was our winner, Mark Zewi. And he's taking a photograph of the screen that came up. And so we'll have that up there for you to see so you can see what he saw shortly. In the meantime, I suggest you brace yourself, because here come two people that, you know, I wonder why they do what they do, frankly. I have no idea what they do, why they do this. I wouldn't go into a graveyard in the middle of the night, but they do. Here they are, Brendan Cook and Barbara Macbeth. Hi,
hello.
Folks. Hello.
Good evening, Art.
Good evening.
Nice to be back on your show. Thank you.
Nice to have you. How long has the Ghost Investigators Society been an official organization? Or unofficial, whatever.
We've probably been all together now for about, I'd say, 4 years.
4 years.
Mm-hmm.
Did you, by any chance, get an opportunity to listen to the program last night?
I was able to catch some of it tonight.
You caught some of it. All right. I thought my guest last night, beyond just any reasonable doubt whatsoever, proved the continued existence of consciousness.
My kind of person.
Yeah, I mean, he did blind, double-blind studies, and, I mean, it seemed irrefutable what he did. It just absolutely seemed irrefutable. I'm sure, like him, I will back away from it and start to doubt again, but I'm over this, suddenly over this threshold where I think I'm becoming really convinced that we do continue. So tonight's program sort of fits, you know, right into that.
Yes.
Because you apparently seemingly have evidence of voices from the other side. Let's tell everybody, because I know there's going to be a few new people out there, how EVP... Give me what history you can of EVP and tell me technically how it is gathered, please.
All right, well, to start off, EVP stands for electronic voice phenomena. It has literally been around since Edison, as you mentioned before. He was actually working on a machine that he was hoping would contact the dead, almost in the same way our tape recorders are doing it now. Unfortunately, he did die before that, and nobody has any blueprints to the machine that he was working on. Since then, there's been Radovay, was one of the most well-known people that's studied it. he wrote a book called Breakthrough that I've heard it's just amazing. He claimed that he would get his friends' voices that had passed on. He'd get literally hundreds of voices.
Is there any record of how these people were affected by what they heard? If they began to actually believe that they were hearing from the other side. Maybe there wouldn't be any record of that, of how it hit them.
I don't believe Radovay acknowledged that these were voices of the dead.
No? What did he think, do you know?
I know that he thought that it was a phenomena, but he never publicly, if I recall correctly, he did not ever publicly acknowledge that they were voices of the dead.
Let's for a second explore the thought that, I believe it's a real phenomena. There is absolutely no question about it. I also now believe that consciousness continues, so that adds to the equation a little bit. But what are the other possibilities? If these are not voices of the dead, then what are they? What could they be? What are the other options, if there are any?
You know, we've heard, countless numbers of suggestions as to what we're recording, from cell phone transmissions to CB radios, to pre-recorded tapes that we're recording over, which, as we mentioned on every show we've done with you, that's our number one thing that we do not do.
It's like the number one rule, yeah.
Yes, we never, ever use a pre-recorded tape. It's always a brand new tape. And as for CB radio transmissions, cell phone transmissions, a lot of the voices we get have some kind of information to it.
Well, they're not CB. Look, I know what CB sounds like, and I know what an AM CB signal or even a sideband signal would sound like. Believe me, it's not CB. So what else?
Look,
cell phones? No. No on cell phones. I don't think so. There are analog cell phones, more digital now than analog. And so you would get a mix of all kinds of things, but you certainly wouldn't get interaction.
That's correct.
That's right. And most of the EVPs, some of them are just as clear and louder than we are.
That's another good point. Now, this is always done with a recorder. And what kind of recorder do you use?
We use the Iowa micro cassette tape recorder with an external mic that we clip on to either our shoulder or the back of our neck, or if somebody's wearing a hat, they'll clip it at the back of their hat.
And so everybody knows, you never use anything but brand new, unwrapped, cellophane from it type brand new tapes, right?
That's right. In fact, we've gotten to the point where we buy each other tapes for birthdays or Christmas.
Since you don't sell anything, and since you have never asked the audience for anything, you haven't written books, there's no remuneration. In fact, it costs you money to do all of this. Of course, that adds incredibly, from my point of view and many others, to your credibility. But I guess costing you money and costing you time, everybody would like to know, why the heck do you do this?
Well, it's for me personally, I hope to be able to go to areas. I would love the opportunity to go to places that are known to be extremely haunted. I don't know if I'll ever be able to afford to do it, but that's my dream, to conduct investigations at places. I'd love to see the GIS get to areas that...
Well, that's a good dream, but I mean, just basically, why do you do the whole doggone thing? It costs you money, it costs you time, you haven't reaped any great rewards from this, and
it's an exciting thing. It's a new experience every time, and it's almost like a personal reward to me too.
Why are graveyards better places to go?
I believe that any place that's associated with the dead has activity.
But
for some reason,
my concept of consciousness surviving physical death is, you know, the physical body rots away, worms crawl in, worms crawl out, and the consciousness, as was explained by my distinguished guest last night, continues in a stream just as surely as the light from the stars that we see continues in a stream. An elegant explanation of how it all occurs, I thought. And interaction back this way, yes, indeed, he said, certainly would be possible for an organized system. It was quite elegant what he had to say about all of this last night.
Mm-hmm.
Quite convincing. But somehow, you two, it's worried me a lot that these dead entities, consciousnesses, whatever you want to call them, associate with their old rotting or perhaps even a burned physical body. That part I don't like.
You know, there are some religions, Art, and we've brought this up before. They believe that once you die, for a certain period of time, you stay by your body. They believe that the body might be resurrected, and they're supposed to stay by their body until that happens.
Which religions would those be?
You know, off the top of my head, I really don't know the names of the religions.
Not mine.
No, actually, Jehovah's Witness believes that.
Jehovah's Witness, okay. Boy, do they really? That you remain by your body for a period of time until you note that nothing is going, I suppose, going to happen, or are you required to remain there for some sort of purgatory period of time?
Yeah, I really...
I'm sure a Jehovah's Witness will call and tell us.
Yeah, but hopefully they do.
I just don't want to be in a position where I'm by my physical body or even the ashes. I want to be gone into the great hereafter. What you do would seem to argue with that to some fair degree. In other words, maybe you're proving what the Jehovah's Witnesses are saying.
There's another point, too, that's been brought up to us is this area of land where we get these voices. It might not have anything to do with the cemetery, although I personally don't believe that, but it could have been something that took place 100 or 200 years ago on that property.
Could have been, but you just said it yourself. You don't believe that.
I don't personally believe that.
So you keep going back to graveyards.
Yeah, well, where we know that there is activity that has been reported at them.
And I take it that you two have been in enough diverse locations to know that graveyards, as a general rule, just as a general rule, are better places to capture more EVP, yes?
Yes, well, just because the accessibility to them. That's probably one of our biggest obstacles is gaining access to locations and being able to conduct an investigation and use all of our equipment, gaining access to a place that has reported haunting activity.
Now, I want to talk to you about something tonight that you and I have talked about before, and somebody's going to provide this for you, but it would be possible to build a recorder, just like the one you have, except modify it so that it would have a record head, and then there would be a period of tape that would go through some mechanism, and it would have a playback head, so that you could actually listen in a set of headphones, and a few seconds after a ghost would say something, you would hear it. Now, as it is now, you have to go home and sort of, you know, listen for hours and hours and decipher these EVPs and hear what was said and sort of bring it to us on the show, as we're going to hear in a few minutes tonight. But if you had this special mechanism, the special tape recorder, it would be perhaps possible to have an ongoing conversation with a spirit. Has that sunk in yet?
We are looking into having one built right now. We're looking at a couple people and just seeing what it'll cost us to have it done. I mean, obviously, we can't build it ourselves.
Right. But there are a lot of people out there who have this kind of technology and are just absolute whizzes. So if somebody does this for you, you would be willing to...
We've had some people offer, you know, to do that. The thing that makes us leery is what do they want from us? Are they going to be expecting something from us? Are we going to be obligated to them in some way?
I understand that, and I hope that you can come up with the right combination, because you do understand the promise of a device of that sort with what you're doing, right?
Oh, yes, definitely.
Okay. All right. When we come back from the break, everybody, we're going to begin giving you some of the latest EVP, and it's really good stuff tonight, some of it pretty freaky, to be sure, that we've got. Brendan Cook, Barbara Macbeth.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time, on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from April 3rd, 2002.
never meant nothing, I was just my father's son. Saving my money, dreaming of glory, twitching like a finger on a tree.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time, on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from April 3rd, 2002.
Hey, good morning, everybody. All right, we've done it. We've got it up on the website now. This is such a cool way to have gotten our winner. Mike Zewi of Madera, California, was the 100 millionth visitor to our website, and we now have the proof. So if you want to go to my website now, artbell.com, let's see. The first, under What's New, it says 100 millionth visitor winner. Click on that, and when you do, you will see a list of prizes that he gets. And then if you go on down, you will see here are two screen displays. One shows the 100 millionth counter, and the second shows, in other words, actually, he took us, oh, that's cool. He took a picture, a digital picture of his screen. And you can see it says 100 million even. That is so cool. And he sent us the picture of the 100 millionth screen itself. And then below it, there was a special pop-up screen, and it's hard to read. It says 100 millionth. No. What does it say? Well, if you want to know, you can see the actual picture of the pop-up screen, and then the actual. If you click on the point where it says, let's see, what does it say? It says, here is the actual pop-up page that came up, and it says 100 million. You are the 100 millionth visitor to the Art Bell website. For verification purposes, you need to email webmaster@artbell.com with the following information. The date and time that you hit the site and got this message. Your ISP and your IP number, if you know it. The secret password of Phaedra. That's Phaedra. And then contact information, address, and phone number. You may want to print this screen, and then you can click on this link to close the window. That's what the special pop-up screen said. And he's got pictures of both the actual screen with 100 million on it and the pop-up screen. And then you can read below that what the pop-up screen actually says, because it's a little difficult to read having taken a digital photograph of it. But our winner, Mike Zewi, provided all the proof in the world, and we've got it up on the website right now. He was indeed, is indeed, forevermore the 100 millionth visitor to the website. Incredible. We'll be right back, and we're about to enter a different world.
Streamlink, the audio subscription service of Coast to Coast AM, has a new name, Coast Insider. You'll still get all the same great features for the same low price. The package includes podcasting, which automatically downloads shows for you, and the iPhone app. You'll also get our amazing download library of 3 full years of shows. That's over 1,000 shows for you to collect and enjoy. If you're a fan of Coast, you won't want to be without Coast Insider. Visit coasttocoastam.com to sign up. You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time, on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from April 3rd, 2002.
Well, all right, here we go, and I urge you now to sort of strap yourself in, because what you're going to hear is going to be perhaps disturbing. Maybe you will laugh at it. Maybe it'll be a nervous laugh. Maybe you will contemplate what you're going to hear. Maybe you won't be sure of what you're going to hear. We're only sure of the strict method used in gathering what you're going to hear. Could it be something other than the voices of the dead? It's possible, but I don't think it's very likely. Once again, Brendan Cook and Barbara Macbeth, welcome back.
Thank you.
All right, let us begin. Number one, where it's always important, I think, to know where these and under what conditions these were recorded. So the first one tonight, what have we got here?
All right, this first voice was recorded at a private residence. The lady had contacted us and asked if we would come investigate her house for her.
Why?
Well, she had been experiencing children, and you'll hear, we're playing a couple of clips on the show tonight from her house, and she kind of describes some of the things that have happened to her.
Okay.
This clip, you'll hear her say, I had a friend who came in here and said she saw a dog in here. And of course, there was no dog there. As I said before, she has seen children in there. The children, she claimed, would wake her up. She also believed there was a ghost of a cat there.
Oh. In fact, I thought she had a cat the first time we arrived, because when she opened the door to let us in, I heard a cat meow.
Oh, really?
And I just assumed that she had a cat, and we had been there for quite a while before I learned that she didn't.
All right. Well, she says that, and then what about the EVP?
All right. You'll hear in this clip, you'll hear her say, I had a friend who came in here and said she saw a dog in here. And then you'll hear a kid that says, good idea. It sounds to us like he says, good idea.
Oh, well, that's what a kid would say about a dog or a cat, right? Good idea. So let's see if we hear that. All right, here it comes, folks.
I had a friend who came in here one time and said she saw a dog in here.
Okay, yeah, that was pretty hard to hear. Let's try it.
I had a friend who came in here one time and said she saw a dog in here.
Okay, I heard it. I heard it. Oh, you did it four times. All right, I'm going to do this one more time. There were four repeats of the good idea, and that was clearly a child's voice. So the lady of the house, and then you're going to hear the good idea.
We're just sitting there.
Wait a minute. Wrong one.
Here. Well, a friend came in here one time and said she saw a dog in here.
Okay, you guys fooled me. You did four.
Yes, we've had some people ask if we can do it four times. They
okay.
said the three isn't enough to actually hear it clearly.
No, that was clearly a child's voice. A child's voice, a small child. Did she have any small children in the house at the time?
No, we never will do investigations with the children in the house because...
Oh, really?
Become afraid.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just hearing what you're doing, I suppose, huh?
We always ask them to have the children at grandma's or at a friend's so that they're not there at the house.
Oh, this next one looks awfully interesting. it really does. All it says is EVP non-English. Now, I've had a million questions about that. You know, people have said, why wouldn't we get other languages?
Well, we have.
You have, huh?
Yes, and
so I assume you're including this to show that.
Yes, we really don't know what language this is. It almost sounds like it could be Hebrew or Arabic. I mean, I have no clue what it's saying.
All right. Where were you?
We were sitting in our car in a cemetery, recording, and you'll hear me say. And just sitting there having the key, and then this voice breaks in, but I can't tell you what it says.
What do your words mean? And just sitting there having the key, what does that mean?
Just what I do on my job.
Having the key?
Data entry.
Oh, data entry. Okay, yeah, I've got it. All right. And so then we'll have, I'll tell you what, we'll have everybody listen for what it is it said that is apparently non-English, and I'll watch my fast blast, and somebody will blast it to me, no doubt. Here we go. Listen.
We're just sitting there having a key.
Lord, I be hell. Lord, I be. Lord, I be. Lord, I be.
I'm not sure about that. One more time.
Around 1 o'clock in the morning?
Wait a minute. Doggone it,
just sitting there having the key.
Lord, I be hell. Lord, I be. Lord, I be. Lord, I be.
Oh, that's really weird sounding.
It is, and we tried to reverse it to see if we could make out anything there. We couldn't. So the only thing we can come up with is another language, and hopefully somebody can tell us what it says.
Well, I have no idea. I was trying to, you know, your mind tries to concoct words that you would understand. It tries to make sense of what doesn't make sense. And so I tried to hear English, and I couldn't get any English there.
I can't. We can't either.
Okay, and that was in a graveyard. Now, did you, is it worth, for example, when you get something like this in another language, then going back to the graveyard and looking for clues on the headstones to see if, you know, it might have been a person of foreign heritage or extraction or something like that?
Yes, and there are several people in this cemetery that are that were originally born in other countries and came here to this area during the pioneer days.
Now, this next one is going to worry me. It's already worrying me. I'm just reading it. So you want to tell everybody where it came from?
All right. This voice, this was in the same private residence as the first voice we played.
Okay.
And you'll hear the lady who owned this house say around 1 o'clock in the morning, and she's describing that that's the time when most of the activity would take place. And you hear, it almost sounds like a child, but I'm not quite sure, say, am I dead?
Am I dead? And again, a child's voice, huh?
It sounds like a child.
All right, well, let's see.
Around 1 o'clock in the morning?
Oh. Oh, that was easy. That was a, I agree, a child's, probably a child's voice. A whispered voice is what I would say. Now, let's, one more time, listen very carefully. It's whispered, but it sounds like a child's whispered voice. I'm hearing these, for the, by the way, for the first time, along with the rest of
them. Around 1 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, man, that sounds like, am I dead?
Yes, I mean, a lot of the EVPs are very whispery. Some of them are so much of a whisper that we cannot use them for a radio show.
Why a whisper? I mean, that clearly is a whisper. It's not a loud voice coming in weakly, as in a whisper. It's a whisper, as in, am I dead?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
Okay. I don't know what to say about that, except as you know, and I know, Barbara, it bothers you, too, to hear so many children's voices.
Yes, that's been one thing that's really surprised me on how many children we get on recording.
Any suppositions you can make based on getting so many children's voices? I mean, why do you think you are?
I've been told, you know, many possibilities. I really do not know. I have really been surprised at the amount, though, that I've recorded and other people have recorded.
Have you ever traced a voice? I would imagine, for example, in a single-family residence where they think they know who the ghost is, and you get a recording, you could be fairly sure of the person it is who's passed on that you are recording, correct?
Yes. We did a few years ago. A friend of ours had committed suicide.
Oh.
And his family felt that he was still there and asked us to come there.
And you got a recording?
And we got a recording, and he called Roger by a name that he would call him sometimes, joking around.
All right, when you heard the voice and when the family heard the voice, was
I never did hear that voice. I never did play it for them.
You didn't?
No.
Why not?
I just felt it wouldn't have been beneficial for them.
Oh. Well, since you both knew the person, correct?
Yes.
Is it reasonable to ask you if the voice to you was recognizable?
It sounded like him in a way, and yet it didn't. And we've talked about this on how some of the words are pronounced by these entities. And it's almost one of our members, Jenny, brought up a good theory. It's almost like how when people are deaf
and can't hear. It's almost how they pronounce their words sometimes. They can't hear, but they can speak, and they don't pronounce their words clearly
and
defined.
Yeah, okay. So many things to wonder about in this.
Yes,
why the children.
It goes on and on.
Yeah, it really does. And here it goes again. Number five.
Number four.
No, all right. Oh, I'm sorry. You're right.
And this one is quite disturbing. It disturbed all of us when we heard it. So just a fair warning to the listeners.
Okay.
We were in a cemetery, and you will hear one of the GIS members, Jenny, say to a person that was with us that this was where Roger got grabbed. And this EVP, it sounds very despondent, and it sounds like a young girl to us, and she says, "Help me," and then there's a pause, and then, "Find my dad."
Help me and find my dad?
Help me find my dad.
Oh, my. All right, here we go.
Hi, this is over here. Hey, Roger got grabbed. Look, Chris. Give me your hand.
Oh my God! Yeah, do I hear that? And it sounds, if you listen to the voice carefully, to me it sounds like, you said despondent. It sounds like the voice is almost in tears.
Yes. She said.
You,
she
you all agree
very,
with that?
Very distressed.
One more time.
This is over here. Hey, Roger got grabbed. Look, Chris. Give me your hand. Look, Chris. Give me your hand. Look, Chris. Give me your hand. Look, Chris. Give me your hand.
Oh, you're right. That's really distressing.
That's very heartbreaking.
You know, we hear all these stories that when you pass and your dead relatives, you find those who have passed on before you, and you don't have to go looking for them, and you don't have to be sad because they are just there. I mean, that's
cold.
What, you know, go to the light, and there they are, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So
it sounds to me like there's some that get missed.
It was a movie... Robin Williams did.
Which one you're talking about?
Which one do you think?
That I can't even remember the name.
Uh-huh. In which his wife, I think if I recall correctly, committed suicide. And she had gone to hell, and he actually proceeded to hell to find her. And so... I'm not saying that that's, you know, what this situation is, but if one of your loved ones is not in the light, not to be found, then I suppose that's one of the things one could speculate about, eh?
Yes, it's got to be mental. I think that's why it's so important to how you think and the kind of person you are to be the best and kindest person you can be here while you're alive.
This one is almost enough to cause you to mist up yourself a little bit when you really listen to it. And and I don't do this frequently, but I'm going to do it again. Listen to this very carefully, and listen not just to the words that are said, but listen to the emotion, incredible emotion behind the words and the incredible desperation that seems to be behind the words. See if you hear that in this.
This is over here. Hey, Roger got grabbed. Look, Chris. Give me your hand. Look, Chris. Give me your hand. Look, Chris. Give me your hand. Look, Chris.
All right, we'll break here at the top of the hour. My guests are from an incredible organization called the Ghost Investigators Society. They are Brendan Cook and Barbara McBeth. and what you're hearing are voices that I guess must be from the other side. Boy, what does this say about the nature of the other side? From the high desert, a little town called Pahrump, my little town, I'm Art Bell, and this is Coast to Coast AM. Don't touch that dial.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time, tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from April 3rd, 2002.
Consumer Reports, online at consumerreports.org.
And how she made it in some velvet morning when I was trained. Flowers growing on a hill, dragonflies and daffodils,
listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time, tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from April 3rd, 2002.
God, how prophetic that Phaedra was the word that Keith chose. I had no idea, by the way, what Keith was going to do, none whatsoever. He chose that word, Phaedra, the unlucky Greek goddess, but awfully lucky for Mark Zewie, the 100 millionth visitor to the website. He's got proof. He was smart enough to take digital pictures of his monitor. It's all right there, so you can go look at it on the website right now. Congratulations, Mark. I'm Art Bell. In a moment, we move back to the other side.
Coast to Coast AM is happy to announce that our website is now optimized for mobile device users, specifically for the iPhone and Android platforms. Now, you'll be able to connect to most of the offerings of the Coast website on your phone in a quick and streamlined fashion. And if you're a Coast insider, you'll have our great subscriber features right on your phone, including the ability to listen to live programs and stream previous shows. No special app is necessary to enjoy our new mobile site. Simply visit coasttocoastam.com on your iPhone or Android browser. Explore your universe with Coast to Coast AM and George Norrie.
If this was up to you, would you go back to the moon or would you go straight to Mars?
But that's not even the question I would ask. There could be scientific reasons to go to one destination, geopolitical reasons to go to another. There could be tourist business reasons to go. Maybe you want to mine an asteroid. And so then when you reach that state, then the solar system becomes your backyard. And now you have the freedom to go where you want. That's what a spacefaring nation needs to do.
Now we take you back to the night of April 3rd, 2002, on Art Bell, Somewhere in Time.
All right, well, I think it's fair to say, back to the other side. Once again, here are my guests, Brennan Cook, Barbara Macbeth from GIS. Welcome back, folks.
Thank you, Art.
Yeah, that last one bothered a lot of people. I sit here and monitor, you know, the fast blast of my computer screen, and you could hear the desperation in the little voice, and that's about the only way I can put it, in the way they're putting it.
Yeah, to be honest, we were actually really worried about that. We
were debating on
whether you even ought to air it.
Yeah, if it was even worth playing, knowing that it might disturb people. And so we really had to wrestle with that for
a while. Yeah, well, I can see why it disturbed them, all right. You know, what does it mean to you? I mean, to me, I think of the Robin Williams movie, you know, What Dreams May Come, and I think, well, maybe not all relatives are there. Maybe there are different places, and maybe there, like here, not all really is perfect. You know, the people who haven't led good lives might not be in the same place as those who have, and I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when I heard this voice, I started thinking about what she could mean. And I was almost wondering if her dad hasn't even passed on yet, and she thinks he should be there, but he's obviously not.
Okay. All right, let's move on, I guess. Number five, where?
All right, this EVP was recorded in, well, it used to be an old barn. It's now a private business. It was built in the 1920s, and, I mean, there's been a variety of activity that's happened there. Lights have turned on and off. The people who work there have reported seeing a ghost that they've just nicknamed George now. And Barbara and the owner's wife were sitting upstairs in the loft of this business. And you'll hear the owner's wife say they were curious at first, weren't they? And then after that, this is kind of interesting because you hear two different EVPs.
Oh,
two different
you mean two
voices.
Different? Oh.
And the first voice is going to say, come here, almost like she's saying, you know, to another ghost, come here and listen to what this lady is saying.
Yes.
And you'll hear the first voice say, come here, and then the next voice says, what?
Oh, really? We've never heard two separate EVPs in one recording, so let's see if we can detect them. Definitely different.
Yes.
I don't know what I'm laughing at. I guess that I managed to hear it so clearly. I don't know if the audience did. But, oh man, that is definitely two different.
And they're corresponding,
I mean,
with each other.
Yeah. Now what that indicates is contemporary dialogue. That indicates interaction. That indicates consciousness, awareness. It indicates interactivity. Wow.
That's correct.
Oh, my goodness. There's a lot to be said about that one. Okay, folks, one more time. Oh, my. Okay, there you have it. That was extremely clear to me. Was I about on target with what I said that would indicate if what we're hearing is true?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Definitely.
What else can it be?
That's right. You really are going to keep doing this work, huh?
Oh, yes. Until I can't move.
So you can't move anymore. You incidentally, we brought this up on previous shows, but you have some kind of pact, right? In other words, one of you, if one of you walks in front of a Mack truck,
best to let them know that I'm going to try to give them the best EVP they've ever recorded.
Barbara's going to haunt the hell out of us.
I wonder if that's considered a worthy goal on the other side.
I don't know. I think that
In other words, we're going to go down. Hey, let's go haunt the hell out of them.
No, I don't think that it's something that. I feel a lot of compassion for these spirits that are still here and interacting with us. I don't think that they belong here, and
you don't,
and that they should move on.
Have you ever recorded anything that said to you, in essence, that a spirit knew that it was trapped or in the wrong place or obviously not where it ought to be?
We've recorded one that we played it on your show a few shows back, I think. It sounded like a self-realization. she said, "I'm completely dead."
Yeah, I remember that.
And to me, it sounded like she just realized that she was dead at that time. I might be wrong, but that's what it sounded like to me.
So we could have that flash of an instant where we see ourselves in an 80-mile head-on collision. We know we're dead for about a tenth of a second. You're going to know you're about to die. And maybe a lot of times it doesn't occur to the person who's now on the other side suddenly that they're even dead. They just don't know because they see as clearly as ever until they realize that they're not in the physical body anymore.
Right. That's what I believe. I mean, if you have self-awareness and you know that you're still existing and you're trying to interact with people that are not responding to you.
Well, all right, number six.
This EVP, we've had it on our website, and some of your listeners might have heard this before, but we thought that there are some people out there that do not have computers, and so we put in a few of them so that people that don't have computers can hear these.
There's a lot of people yet without computers.
Yes,
so
that's why we added these in.
Okay, no, that's fine.
We were in a cemetery, me and my husband, and we were in a convertible, a little blue Karmann Ghia, and the top was down, and we were waiting for Brendan and Jenny to show up. And I was driving the car, and you will hear Roger say, "Sit and wait there." And this EVP repeats what he says, word for word, "Sit and wait there." It's a kind of a creepy voice, and then there's a sound that sounds like a heavy breath after that.
Okay, let's see. Oh, brother. that sounds psychotically evil. How's that for a turn of a phrase? Psychotically evil. Again, folks, I'm hearing these as you are, but just hearing that breath. Yep, psychotically evil. One more time. Sends the hackles up on my back. Yeah, it really does. That's the hackles. Now I may hear it. I don't know more clearly than some out there, but man, that one, yeah.
And we have
one.
Recorded that sound of breathing quite often, which I find quite fascinating.
Yeah, but that breathing sound sounds either like. Well, sounds like. Psychotically evil. That's all I can say. All right. Anyway, I'm sure I'll hear from some other people what they think it sounded like too. That was just me. All right. Onward. Number seven.
Okay. This one. The voice itself sounds like a decrepit old woman almost. You'll hear GIS member Roger. Well, this was in a private residence we were investigating. And you'll hear GIS member Roger say, "Do you think he's past 40? And he's talking to the owner, referring to the ghost, if the owner thinks that the ghost is, you know, past 40 in that age range.
Right.
And this decrepit old woman, it sounds like she says yes. Either yes or he is.
All right, we'll let people decide. Here you go.
"Do you think he's past 40?
Yes, it sounds like a decrepit old woman. You guys are pretty good at this. You spend hours and days and weeks and months listening to these, nothing but these, right? Looking for
almost. Sometimes it is like that.
You see, again, I'm bothered. Why would there be a decrepit old woman on the other side? In other words, surely you don't show up in the depleted, wrinkled, old, aged, mind boggled, and fuzzied condition that you die in. I mean, that's just too much to believe. And so why then would we even ever get a decrepit old lady?
That's true. However, now say she was older when she passed away.
Yeah.
Now, when she goes on to the other side, that's how she's going to remember herself. I mean, it's possible that she may remember herself being younger, but it's going to more than likely be easier to remember herself as being the way she was when she passed on.
Yeah, but if her voice sounds like that on the other side, then why shouldn't we imagine that other aspects of her are the same on the other side as well? To her, and that's the only one that matters to, I suppose.
Well, there have been ghosts that have been seen that look like
decrepit people. So maybe whoever it was who said die young and leave a pretty body. You know, I mean, if it's what you're stuck with in eternity. No,
I almost wonder if they appear, the way they appear is how they want you to see them.
Yeah.
Because
maybe
like I think we discussed this previously, there have been cases where the same person has been seen in different stages of their life.
So they can project themselves in any manner they wish.
I believe they can.
Well, then at that moment, it was a decrepit old lady who was projected to you. For that, I guess. I don't know. I guess we can't dissect all of this and understand all of it.
No, you can't.
Although you struggle to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. All right. Here we go on yet to number 8.
We were investigating a different residence, and you'll hear the lady say, walk in here blindly, and this EVP says good night.
Okay, again,
it sounds like a child.
Really? This is the lady of a private residence, right?
Yes.
Now, let me ask you this, just before we play this. Your exposure on this program, pretty big. Do you now find that as a result of the exposure that you get invited into more places, or that it's a little easier for you on occasion because they know who you are?
Well, we've gotten a lot of invitations, and our limited funds does not allow us to go to a lot of the places that they've asked us to go.
Of course. Of course. Yes, I'm sure that is certainly true. People can make their own electronic voice recordings, right?
Yes.
All right, we'll cover that in a moment. But anyway, the lady of the house says, walk in here blindly, and the EVP says goodnight. Is that about right?
That's correct.
All right, here we go.
Walk in here blindly.
Goodnight.
Wow.
Goodnight. Goodnight. Oh, absolutely no question about that one. In fact, when you hear it in context, it even sounds better. Oh, when you pull it apart, I don't even know what sounds as good. Listen to it in straight context.
Can you come be with us?
Oh, why did I do that? I'm sorry.
Walk in here blindly. Goodnight.
Wow. Child's voice all the way.
Mm-hmm.
How many people, I wonder, if they were given the chance to be any age again, might not choose the innocent joy of childhood?
That's
now,
what I almost wonder, if what's taking place with all the children's voices.
That's the best thing to hope for, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
That you, when you get there, you virtually have a choice, and if you want the innocent joy, and what's to match that when you were discovering the world and everything was new? Maybe it is true that a lot of people choose that. And can you blame them?
No, because usually that's your happiest times.
You know, that's kind of hard to figure out. I mean, they certainly were the most carefree times. I'll say that. I'm not sure they were the happiest.
Well, at the time, you don't know any different. And so your innocence, for most people... protects you, and you're happy then.
Yeah, I don't think I would choose my childhood, but I can clearly see how many people would. I've had such an incredible adult life, just amazing,
uh-huh.
that I probably would choose that. But I can see that a large part of the population would choose perhaps to be innocent and free again. That would have a lot of attraction, I think. In fact, so much that here one last time I want to hear.
Walking here blindly. Goodbye. Goodbye.
Yeah, that's a child. Okay, onward and upward. Let's see, number 9. Maybe we can get it in here just before the break.
All right, this voice, it was recorded in a Victorian mansion that we've been doing an ongoing investigation at. And you'll hear Barbara say, "Will you come and be with us?" And it sounds like a man that says either "no thank you" or "oh thank you."
Really?
It's
"no thank you" or okay, all right. Well, let's see what we get.
Will you come and be with us?
All right, that sounds like a no thank you. You know, that kind of tone. No thank you, like that is what I got.
It's saying either no thank you or oh thank you. One of the two.
I heard more of the no, that kind of a no.
No thank you.
It sounds really almost kind of adamant about it.
Yeah, sort of a thanks but no thanks kind of
yeah,
no
exactly.
thank you, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, we'll see what other people think, and it's very diverse what people hear. You two stand by. The GIS is here. I'm Art Bell, and you're listening, of course, to Coast AM. Now cruising in the nighttime above the 100 millionth hit. It's been quite a night.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time, on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from April 3rd, 2002. Presents Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight's program originally aired April 3rd, 2002.
The GIS is here tonight. I'm Art Bell. Don't touch that dial.
Now we take you back to the night of April 3rd, 2002 on Art Bell, Somewhere in Time.
Thank you. Brendan Cook and Barbara Macbeth are my guests, and here they are once again. All right, you two. Jim, you know, I get these messages on the computer. Jim from Nova Scotia, Wolfville, Nova Scotia, asks a very good question. Food for thought, he says. It's kind of interesting that the ghosts have to breathe. If that's the case, do they have to eat? What would they eat? Dead plants and animals? Interesting show. Interesting thought. It is a good point. I mean, after all, they're dead. What do they need with breathing sounds?
To be honest, I really don't believe they're actually breathing at all. I think it's a memory thing. They're remembering how they talked in life, and to do that, they had to breathe.
Oh, that's right. Well, that's
I think
true.
A lot of this is done through memory. That's how they communicate with us.
Very good. Yes, perfect explanation, actually. They would, if they were going to send a message, they would send it in a recognizable form, and that certainly would include breath. All right. Number 10, as we continue.
This next one was recorded by one of our members, Barry. We were investigating a business. The building was originally built back in the late 1800s and had originally been used as a bordello. This is one that's also been on our website, and we added it in for people that don't have a computer.
That's many, as long as it's the first time on the show. So this was a bordello?
Yes, originally. And in fact, the rooms upstairs, they still have the old original wallpaper. And it's a woman that we were just getting ready to leave, in fact, and to go back downstairs. And Barry was walking out of this room, and it sounds like a young woman, and she says, "Gonna miss you, and I mean it."
Really? All right. Let's see. Oh. Oh wow. It really does sound like that. But God, let's think about this for a second. If that's what it is, then is it a memory of what happened so many times in that room? Is that what you think?
Yeah, it could be a residual voice. I mean, there's no real interaction other than us leaving at the time.
Or
it could have been a line that she used.
Yeah, how about this one? Just let me throw another one in on the pile here. Suppose it's true that a prostitution is some kind of sin. I'm just throwing this in.
Right.
That it's some kind of serious sin that we don't know about. More serious than we thought, that is. So then maybe she, the ghost, is eternally a prostitute. Now, I would think that would be pretty much a hell. Listen to it one more time. Just thought I'd throw that in. You guys think about that kind of thing at all?
Oh, yeah.
In other words, what hell might be repeating something that you did that was wrong.
Yes.
Who knows? I don't think.
That would
be
horrid, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that would be horrible. It would be absolutely horrible. Okay. Let's continue. I every show that we do, I want to get, in fact, here's something I have to get in now before it gets too late. A lot of people are going to want to contact you for obvious reasons. There will be requests, I'm sure, for you to come and visit a specific location for obvious reasons. You know, people want to hear from loved ones that are gone. I don't know if it's a good idea or not, but I know you're going to get some of that, and people just will want to converse with you. Many people out there are doing their own EVP work, and I know that you try and encourage people to do it themselves, right?
Yes, we do.
Yeah. Now, your website tells them how, right?
It does. It gives just kind of the basics, you know, how to go about doing it, and obviously a lot of examples of it.
And people send you EVPs in email too, right?
Yes, they do.
One night we'll have to do a show on EVPs sent in. In other words, when you finally get enough of some really good ones.
Oh, we could easily
Oh, could we? All right. Well, listen. So people are going to go out and try this themselves. What is your email address? Do you want to give it out?
Well, we have GIS at ghostpix.com.
GIS
at address, and you can also go, if you go to the home page and go to the bottom, you can email each individual member.
Okay, but the overall address is GIS at ghost, G-H-O-S-T, pix, P-I-X, .com, all strewn together, right?
That's correct.
In baby letters, lowercase, GIS at ghost, pix, that's P-I-X, .com. All right, number 11.
All right, well, this one, I almost kind of got a little bit creeped out by this. It was in the private residence. The last few of these voices have been recorded with the children in it.
Yeah.
And you'll hear the same woman describing, in fact, she says exactly these words. She says, "This room is always cold, and if you just walk in here, it's cold. I don't like this room. Every time I've slept in here, I've had nightmares." Now, you'll hear that in this clip. And right after she says that, a child will say, "Go to bed."
Oh my.
Almost
now,
like he's saying, you know, go to bed so you can have some more nightmares.
Here comes some more nightmares. Be my guest, go to bed. Oh, that's creepy. All right. Now, again, this is a private residence request you were doing.
Yes.
An investigation of a haunted place, and a lady was talking about how the room is always cold, right?
Yes.
Here it comes.
The room is always cold, and it's... I mean, just walk in here, it is cold. I don't like this room. Every time I've slept in here, I've had nightmares.
That's so totally creepy. I agree. Totally creepy. We're going to do this one more time. The lady in the house who's leading the GIS members in this investigation and showing them through the house has made the comment about how the room is always cold, doesn't like it in there, has nightmares, and there's an obvious response.
This room is always cold, just walk in here, it is cold. I don't like this room. Every time I've slept in here, I've had nightmares.
Did you hear him giggle, too, in there, in the middle of her sentence?
Yes, I did. I did. Oh, my. Now this really gets to be a problem, because not only do we have a child's voice, but we have what appears to be, if it's in the context, but it certainly appears to be, and it's the context seems very clear, we have a malevolence from a child's voice.
The lady from this residence had always mentioned to us that the majority of this activity happened when she was asleep, and it would either wake her up or she'd have nightmares about it. And I wonder if that was almost a way that it was easier for the spirits there to contact her that way.
Huh. Maybe. Maybe. But it didn't sound like a friendly voice to me. And it was definitely a child's voice, and it wasn't friendly. So we have a malevolent child's voice, in my opinion. But I know that you want to think of it in a very optimistic way, and I don't blame you. All right. Number 12.
This one was recorded by Jenny, and they were conducting an investigation at an old jail that is now part of a hotel complex is around it, and the people eat in the jail cells. And me and Roger were not at this location at this time, and you will hear Jenny say, "Will you tell us your name?" And the EVP says, "Roger."
Really? Really? All right, here we go.
Will you tell us your name?
Roger.
Is there any question in your mind that that is what you're hearing? And that that is an absolutely direct interaction. Do you understand how important it is, folks, that they have this delay unit so they can record, and then a few seconds later hear any electronic voice that comes to them that would enable them to engage in an immediate ongoing conversation? If this EVP is real stuff, then that certainly should follow, that you would occasionally get an ongoing conversation. There would be perhaps whatever seconds of delay between the record and the playback head, but still, that would be basically an ongoing conversation. One more time, listen to the voice answering with his name.
Can you tell us your name?
Yeah. That's a pretty direct response, folks.
It is. It is, really.
I'm trying to think of how we're going to handle this next one. And I'm going to come closer to telling them what it is, and we're going to let the voice from the other side do the bad word if that is indeed what it turns out. Since a lot of this is subjective. If anybody ever comes back to me and says, you shouldn't have let that go on the air, I'll say, well, you know, it's subjective. Who knows what you heard, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to hear, first of all, where was this, please, as always, need know where.
Well, this was in a cemetery, and it's a cemetery. It's an older pioneer cemetery, and we had seen a ghost light in this cemetery earlier. And in this clip, that's what you'll hear is GIS member Jenny, who recorded this, say, oh, little light, come on. Then she's trying
Oh, little light, come on.
Yeah, she's trying to get the light to come back because we had seen this ghost light appear in the cemetery a few times before.
In what form, might I ask? Like an orb?
Yeah, it was really just a ball of light.
Went down to about the size of your thumbnail.
We call those orbs.
Well, it started out like an orb, but it got very small. It got, it shrunk down in size as it came down the road.
All right. Oh, my goodness. So we'll hear Jenny say, oh, little light, come on. And then we will hear the EVP, which contains some bad language. Please note that, everybody. There's going to be some possibly interpreted as bad language here. I haven't heard it yet. Let's see.
Oh, little light, come on. Oh, little light.
Well, that one clearly to me says, S-head, I'm near the light. That's what I hear it coming back to Jenny with blank head, insert S-head here. I'm near the light is what it sounds like, doesn't it?
Yes, and that's what we've heard, you know, from the many times that we've played it back.
Yeah, okay, well, here, you know, it was, to me, it was pretty obvious that it was the bad word, one of the bad, seven bad words. Probably you can only say it this time of the morning. Actually, you can do that legally, but I don't do it unless it's in a context, and this is clearly in a context, and I'm going to play it again, but I want to ask you, how often, because obviously we don't do this frequently on radio, you know, allow this kind of language, or could be interpreted to be kind of language. That'll keep me on the edge here, to go out over the air. So how often do you get bad language included in EVPs?
Not a whole lot. I mean, we do get it, but maybe 15% of the time. I mean,
I'd be surprised if it's even that much.
Somewhere between 10 and 15%?
Yes, that sounds about right.
You agree with that, both of you? So, better than 10%, Barbara?
I don't even think it's that much.
Uh-huh.
It's out of all of the ones that we've gotten, I think we could count them on one hand how many.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Where other people, they get sworn at a lot, so maybe it's our attitude with them. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe it is. All right. Let's play this one more time, and you all can decide for yourselves.
Follow the light, come on.
All right, now to me, that sounds like a young woman's voice, even maybe a teenage voice, but a young woman's voice. What do you think?
That's what we thought. Huh. A young girl.
A young girl, yeah.
Teenager.
Yeah, and not in a real good mood either. But referring to the light, referring directly back to the light, God, that's incredible. How do you guys handle some of this when you get it? I mean, you know, we're discussing them tonight, and a lot of this has, to me, pretty apparently had vibes to it. I don't know how else to put it. Go back to the 60s. Really bad vibes to it, huh?
Well, some of them you have to just kind of laugh at. Like with this young girl, she has an attitude. She must have had one when she was alive, and she still has it.
Teenage girls have attitudes.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, women in general.
Really, you treat them like people. I mean, they may not have a physical body, but they're still people. I mean, they have the same mentality they had while they were alive. And that's really how we treat them when we're out. And when we get these voices, I mean, they're general.
So if you're a jerk or an S-head in real life, then you are over there too.
Exactly. Your personality just carries on, I really feel like these EVPs, they really show personality.
Yeah, well, they do. There's a lot of emotion. There's a lot of some just outright anger and all the whole range of
despair, happiness.
Yeah, despair. I didn't like the despair one. Okay, we can squeeze one more in here for the top of the hour. So let's squeeze. It'd be what, number 14?
Yes, really interesting. We've conducted investigations at this location probably over 100 times, and
graveyard
over a period of 3 years.
Graveyard?
No, it's an old Union Pacific Railroad station.
Okay.
That's been turned into a museum now. And this area, they call it the gallery. We've been in this location many times, and we've never heard this take place before or after this. We asked the maintenance man if he's ever heard it happen at the time he was there with us, and he had never heard it. But you'll hear the EVP will say, make the pipes do it now, and then you will hear the pipes start rattling.
Oh, you're kidding. Okay, there's a way to go out of an hour. But there's more ahead, folks. You could actually hear the pipes rattling. Now, there's one to catch on tape, folks. Look, I'll tell you what. We're going to break here at the top of the hour, and when we come back, we've got more EVPs, and I will try and get you on the phone with these two GIS members. I'm Art Bell.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time, tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from April 3rd, 2002.
He was in a bind, but he was way behind, he was willing to make a deal. When he came across this young man sawing on a fiddle and playing it hot, and the devil jumped up on a hickory stump and said, boy, let me tell you what. I guess you didn't know it, but I'm a fiddle player too. And if you'd care to take a dare, I'll make a bet with you. Now you play pretty good fiddle, boy, but give the devil his due. I bet a fiddle of gold against your soul, because I think I'm better than you. The boy said, my name's Johnny, and it might be a sin, but I'll take your bet and you're going to regret, because I'm the best there's ever been. Johnny, rosin up your bow and play your fiddle hard, cause hell broke loose in Georgia and the devil deals in cards. And if you win, you get the shiny fiddle made of gold.
Back in the satin dress, in a room where you do
to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time, on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from April 3rd, 2002.
You know, I interviewed Gordon Lightfoot, the man who sings this song, and he sang about his own life. I mean, we sat here and talked about it. This was about a woman he was in love with, ended up cheating on him, I think, and if you listen to the words of the song, that's what this is about. Now, that kind of person with that kind of passion, and Gordon Lightfoot has a lot of passion, man. It's all in the song if you just listen to the words and how he sings them. That kind of person would come back and haunt. You can tell there's this incredible kind of passion that will never go away. So if things don't go away, and I, you know, the proof seems to be that they do not continue on forever in an organized form, then somebody with that kind of passion would be one who would come back and haunt. It's a very interesting interview. That's another one I'll have to repeat one of these days. All right, the GIS is here, and we're back to it in a moment.
Streamlink, the audio subscription service of Coast to Coast AM, has a new name, Coast Insider. You'll still get all the same great features for the same low price, just 15 cents a day when you sign up for 1 year. The package includes podcasting, which offers the convenience of having shows downloaded automatically to your computer or MP3 player, and the iPhone app with live and on-demand programs. You'll also get our amazing download library of 3 full years of shows. Just think, as a new subscriber, over 1,000 shows will be available for you to collect, enjoy, and listen to at your leisure. Plus, you'll get streamed and on-demand broadcasts of Art Bell's Somewhere in Time shows and 2 weekly classics. And as a member, you'll have access to our monthly live chat sessions with George Norrie and special guests. If you're a fan of Coast, you won't want to be without Coast Insider. Visit coasttocoastam.com to sign up today. Looking for the truth? You'll find it on Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
I think now, as we look back, we can probably say with pretty good certainty that some people in government might have been aware of what was going on, and they turned their cheek the other way just to let it happen. I also believe that some bigger groups got involved with Al-Qaeda to do what they did on that horrible day. This wasn't just a small group of people who came in and did their thing. There was a much bigger picture there. And if you see the events that have unfolded since this tragedy occurred, how we've lost rights, how we used it to go into Afghanistan and Iraq, and how it has really not stopped, because it's going to continue. We're going to have more and more episodes and more involvement in other countries. And just mark my word, this planet is going through an incredible change. And thank God we've got you here to talk with us about it.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time, on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from April 3rd, 2002.
You two, we're back on the air again. Now, we didn't have time to really discuss what we heard up at the top of the hour, but there was, you know, in the first part of it, there's absolutely no question that you could actually hear the chains rattling, right?
The pipes rather rattling.
I mean, it was pretty loud, actually.
Yes, and they went on for quite a while.
Really?
They went on for so long that that was when we asked the maintenance man that was there with us if he had ever heard these pipes do that, because we had never, we had been there many times.
All right, now, again, who says make the pipes do it now?
It was an EVP.
Saying make the pipes do it now, apparently as in talking to another EVP?
That's what it sounds like to me.
So we might imagine here we've got a couple of ghosties, we'll call them, who are thinking of making trouble, or you know, trying to, that's one sure sign of a haunting, what happens to the pipes, right? So if there were a couple of ghosts sitting around trying to decide how they were going to cause mischief, they might sound just like this, right?
Yes.
Listen.
Huh?
All right, so that's... well...
This place is really
now we can draw
an active place.
Yeah, we can draw a good conclusion from this, and that is that there's a sense of humor on the other side. Right?
Yes, I believe that many of them do have a sense of humor.
Here they are, Harry. Hit the pipes now. You know, that's encouraging to me. That one's encouraging to me. I mean, I may well be on the other side, and if I'm able to do it, rattling pipes, big footsteps coming up the stairs, that kind of thing, even a door occasionally bowing in like you see in the movies, you know?
I'd love to witness that.
You bet. And so if I could do that, I'm just the kind of guy who would do that. So I have some... empathy with that recording I just heard. That's a good thing. All right, onward. Number 15, I believe.
Okay, well, Art, in this clip, we're in a cemetery, and you will hear a girl say, this girl was with us, she's not an actual member, but
no.
She says, have they no respect? And she's talking about a headstone that had been knocking over by, I guess, teenagers that were going into the cemetery.
Yes.
But she says, have they no respect? And then GIS member Jenny answers, I know. And then the EVP, it sounds like it says, we are dead.
It does?
It's a low EVP, but, I mean, that's all we kind of came
folks,
to the conclusion.
Let's see what we can hear.
Have they no respect? Hello?
Was clear to me. We are dead. It was quite clear to me, actually. It'd be interesting to see what other people have to say, but that's what I hear. We are dead. And you're talking about respect, and so I suppose the dead in this case are thinking they are the ones who should be getting the respect. We are dead.
That's almost how it sounds. I mean, just in the context it's shown right here.
I hope I'm not adding improper meaning. I'm just giving, as we go, my interpretation.
No, that's actually what I thought when we heard this.
All right, here it is again.
I'm going to respect, you know.
The plea of the Rodney Dangerfield of the other side, huh? All right. All right. We're not going very quickly here, but we'll get through them. I want to get to some phone calls, so we better get through these. Number 16.
This one was recorded in the same cemetery and by Jenny, and you will hear Jenny say, I mean, I saw it, but, and then this EVP comes in, and it sounds like a child, and it says, do you see my name?
You mean like on a... You mean like on a headstone?
That's what I believe it's asking about.
Oh, man. All right, let's see.
I mean, I thought, but...
You know what I hear? I hear, can you see my name? I really do hear that. Can you see my name? Oh, man.
I mean, I thought, but...
I think you're right. I do think it says, can you see my name?
Can you see my name? That's what it says. Ay, ay, ay. Small voice, too, huh?
Mm-hmm.
This is not encouraging me. On the whole, you know, some of them have been all right, but this hanging around graves... Any idea which grave or headstone it was?
No, there are so many of them that are so worn, they're really hard to even, they've gotten so that you can't even see names on them.
Oh, which might be another reason that the voice would say, can you see, as in, can you still see my name? Is it, oh, wow. All right, onward, number 17.
All right. Well, this one was recorded in the same cemetery as the last two. And Barbara was saying, right before this voice was recorded, Barbara was remarking on what a pretty cemetery this is. And this voice comes in and says, extremely little.
Really? Here we are. Referring to the size of the cemetery, the voice says, extremely little. It's pretty clear to me. How about the rest of you? Mr. Cunningham from New York City, New York, New York, says, how do you expect me to sleep tonight?
Well, yeah,
I understand, actually.
We're really not, I mean, we don't want to scare anybody by doing this. Our motto...
Well, you've got to understand that's the net result in a lot of cases. I mean, some of these are questionably scary, or unquestionably scary. In other words, sure, I guess you can try and put the best spin you can on them.
I think it really comes down, it all comes down to the way you look at it. I mean, if you, like we do, and view them as just people, I mean, they're not demons, they haven't turned evil because they've passed on.
Yeah.
You just view them as regular people that don't have a body. It's
anymore.
Really not something that bothers you.
Well, it might not bother you, but it does bother some of us. I mean, these are just regular people minus bodies. Now, that's, on the face of it, that sounds pretty good, but, you know, it's a big statement when you think about it. These are regular people without bodies. That says more than it just says when it rolls off the lips. All right, anyway, onward number, what, 18?
This one, we were at a bar. It's an old establishment. It's been, I think at one time it was a general store. It's now a biker bar. And the workers that work in there, they've had experiences there. And you'll hear Ginny say, that's weird. And this EVP will say, so is the bar.
Really? Here we are. That's exactly what it says. So's the bar. Listen, listen again, folks, one more time.
And just to be clear on this, the bar was not open at the time we recorded this.
Really? Wow. Might we know, for the record, on an average, how many hours of EVP, as an average, do you go through, or how many minutes do you go through to get a legible EVP?
It varies so much. I mean, there can be times...
I'm sure they come in clusters, but what I mean is, if you were to average it all out, how many hours are you two, or you many, actually, in GIS, sitting down, listening to tapes, and if you had to average it out, are you hearing one an hour, one every 2 hours, one every 10 hours, 12, one every week, what?
Oh, we probably spend, we can spend 8 to 10 hours a day listening through our tapes, and we will probably get an average of probably 20 out of the tapes that we listen to, but we able to use them all for the show.
Because they're not that legible.
Right.
Well,
that's
pretty encouraging. In other words, if people are out there thinking about trying this right now themselves, I'd say that's pretty encouraging. That would be one hard day's work, say, and you might expect to get 15 or 20, or maybe if you're not good at recognizing them, even 10. But even 10, I would think, for a first experiment, for somebody out there, would be a pretty doggone good yield.
Well, that's the combination of more than one person listening. I mean, we're sitting here, all of us listening to our tapes.
Three different recorders, actually.
Oh, so then somebody might yield, let's say then they might yield 10 in 3 days of man-hour works?
Yeah, that sounds correct.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, even that's pretty good for somebody who would like to start out an experiment to expect to get as many as, say, 10 in 3 days of hard work. That would be enough to start you thinking. If you want to prove this to yourself, and an awful lot of you have, because I get all these emails saying, oh, my God, Art, I tried it, and it worked. You can't imagine how many of those I get.
Yes, we get a lot of those, too, where they've, you know, written to us and told us that
they... And that's how I started. I mean, as I've said before, I didn't believe in EVP at all when we first started. I mean, when I first heard about it, I just thought it was ludicrous to go into a cemetery in the middle of the night and record voices. And, you know, it took two or three times, and when we recorded our first voice, it was just, I was blown away by it.
All right.
You don't have to do it at nighttime. You can go in midday. A lot of times we've taken off in the afternoon while the daylight is still...
Yeah, I suppose really what's day or night to somebody on the other side? Probably nothing. Maybe nothing.
Yeah, it doesn't matter when you get the EVP.
All right. The next one, number 19.
All right. This one was recorded in a mausoleum, and...
Oh.
I didn't include Roger. Roger's the one that recorded this, GIS member Roger. But
right.
I did not include his voice before this because there was a problem with the sound level.
So all we're getting here is the EVP itself.
The EVP itself. But
whatever came from the other side.
That's correct.
Okay.
Right before this, you'll hear, you won't hear it, but Roger had said, we welcome you to come and join us. And then the voice, it sounds like a child's voice, really quickly says, leave me alone.
All right, let's see if we can hear it. It's the first one that I have a hard time with tonight. The others I've heard so clearly, I'm still trying to make out what she's saying. Here it is one more time. This is the EVP. All right, I kind of have a hard time with that one. I can't quite make out that it's saying what you believe it is. Leave me alone.
I think it would have been clearer if I was able to get Roger's sound level down and keep his voice with the EVP. I mean, the context would have been better.
I see.
But like I said, I mean, it's just a quick, fast voice.
All right, quickly, speaking of quick, number 20.
Well, we were recording in an old Victorian house, and they had a couple of boxers, a couple of dogs, that came out of this room. And you'll hear me say, gorgeous animal, and this EVP says, bat face.
Bat face?
Bat face.
As in B-A-T?
Uh-huh.
Bat face. All right, here we go.
Gorgeous animal.
Ooh.
You know, they had a little mask over their, you know, their markings, you know.
So you you think this is a comment on what they thought the animal looked like?
I think that might be, yes, because they were beautiful dogs.
Bat face. Yeah, well, you know, I understand that comment. Here we go, one more time.
Gorgeous animal.
When you find something that distinct, though, you must all start... Is there like a moment of clapping and jumping up and down that you have found something?
Oh, yeah.
That,
it's loud and clear. It's great.
Actually, as you point out, in some cases, the EVP is louder than the voice that was making the invitation or the comment or whatever, right?
Yes.
How can you possibly account for that?
I mean, it's such a mystery. Really, it is. I don't think there is any way that we can explain it.
I don't either.
Unless that spirit, that ghost, has very strong energy themselves.
And they may have that. All right, hold on. We'll be right back. This coast, we're going to go to the phones here in a moment.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time, on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from April 3rd, 2002. Somewhere in Time, tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from April 3rd, 2002.
Coming to you this night from this side and that side.
Take you back to the night of April 3rd, 2002 on Art Bell, Somewhere in Time.
This is really interesting. Welcome back, you two. I got a whole slew of messages here. You know number 20?
Yes.
The one you thought was saying bat face?
Yes.
Let's see. Mike from Wisconsin says, no. Don from Davenport, Iowa. Could the last one have been butt face? Chris Houston, Texas. I think that one said butt face. Robert, Portland, Oregon says, it may be me, but the voice in the dog segment sounded as if it said butt face. Guess they have a good sense of humor. Now, therefore, I'm going to listen to this again with that in mind. See if it sounds like butt face.
Gorgeous animals. Butt face. Butt face. Butt face. Butt face.
I think they're right. Either that or, what we say, now it's a close call, obviously, but what we say influences what we hear. And to some degree, I'm sure that's true. Our brains do that. I don't think it in any way lessens the credibility with regard to the work you're doing to have different interpretations of the same thing. But by God, second time I listen to it, these people are right. Sounds like butt face.
And it very well could be.
Uh-huh. All right. A lot of people want to talk to you, and I've got to get you on the line, but we do have one more, don't we?
Yeah.
Number 21. What
I'll
do we got?
This one really quick.
Okay.
This one, we were in the cemetery, and my friend actually happens to be buried in the cemetery. And I was walking over his grave at this time.
Oh.
And you'll hear me, and this is just kind of the way we talked, you'll hear me say, sorry for walking over where you were planted. And it sounds like a voice that says, why do that?
Why do that?
Yes.
Okay. Here we go in a cemetery again, where they are so frequently.
Sorry for walking over where you were planted.
Why do that? That's exactly what it sounded like. Why do that? To me, why do that? And I guess as you listen to all voices, the phrasing is important. Why do that? Why do that? It came just that way, didn't it?
Yes.
Hmm. All right, here come the phone calls. First time caller line, you're on the air with GIS. Good morning.
Yeah, this is Life in Jonesboro.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, like I said, the one you played earlier tonight, I think it was the third or fourth one where you said you thought it might be a foreign language.
Yes.
Yeah, that, I mean, my Latin's a little fuzzy, but it sounded like they might have said a little quati, which to me sounds like a conjugation of a Latin word, which means those who talk.
Oh, really?
Or one who talk.
Really?
That's... It seems to me that's the... I know it has to do with talking, because I know, like, nolo quaestor means I can't say anything.
There you go, folks.
Those who talk?
I believe loquati would be like a group, like a group of people who talk.
Oh, okay, thank you.
A group of people who talk in Latin. Cool, thank you very much, caller. Well, didn't have long to wish for that one, did we? All right, here we go. Wild card line, you're on the air with GIS members.
Hi.
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 Hi, Art, congrats on the 100 million.
Oh, yeah, that's something, isn't it?
Yeah. This is Jeff calling from Midland, Texas.
Thank you.
Yes, I have going to sleep with a few extra lights on tonight.
I hear that.
Yeah. I have a little different interpretation of one of the messages that was played.
Which one?
The one about the seem so small.
Extremely little?
Or extremely little.
Yeah.
Exactly, right. And what I heard could be, the way I heard it, it could be, do I seem small?
Really?
Yeah.
What number was that, folks?
17.
17?
17. It sounded like a child's voice.
And you say that it's saying what, sir?
It seems like it's saying, do I seem small?
All right, let's listen to this one. No, I don't know if I hear that.
Or do I seem small?
I heard little. I heard the word little.
I keep saying the word wrong, but do I seem little? But the way that it's a child's voice.
Now, maybe, do I seem little, maybe?
Yeah, that's what I'm getting. That's what I was getting at.
All right, hold on. I don't know. Caller, thank you for making the suggestion. I don't know if I hear that, but thanks.
Okay, thank you.
All right, take care. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with the GIS Group. Good morning.
Hello, Art.
Hello.
Hey, how you doing? This is Scott calling out of Peoria, Illinois on WMBD 1470.
Yes, sir.
I was just wondering a couple quick questions there. I was wondering if they've ever tried to, if your guest has ever tried recording at sites such as like Gettysburg or maybe even the Ground Zero and...
Hiroshima?
Yeah.
Nagasaki,
like
Hiroshima.
That would be great. Yeah. And see just kind of what kind of reaction they've gotten.
I'm sure, you know, they said it earlier, they'd love to travel. Travel takes money.
What?
And patience, too, these days. What about it, guys? Gettysburg, I mean, have you ever been on vacations, had opportunities to go to historic battlegrounds, that kind of thing?
We have not yet gone to Gettysburg. We're hopefully going to do that. As for Ground Zero, we've mentioned this, you know, on your show before, it's something, if we ever did it, there'd have to be quite a lot of time that passed.
Right. Just out of curiosity, I know me and a friend, we've really been into the show all night, and I've got recording equipment of my own, a little personal studio. I was wondering if would any equipment such as like a digital 8-track recorder or anything like that work? And
that question comes up every show, so we'll deal with it right now. Everybody would say, yeah, come on, use mini CD or a digital format of some kind, and you will eliminate any noise. And your answer to that is?
Well, the theory with EVP is it's using the EMF, or electromagnetic field.
Right.
Which, you know, when you're using your tape recorders, that's what you're picking up.
You're laying down an electromagnetic track on the tape oxides is what you're doing. So what we believe is happening is that these entities are impressing through the use of electromagnetics their voice on through the tape head onto the tape. Now, that would not work, or at least we don't know how it would work, with digital equipment. And I take it you have experimented, certainly, with digital. I was suggested, if you didn't think of it yourself, what happened?
Yeah, I have yet to hear a voice come from a digital recorder. A lot of what people claim are voices from digital recorders is actually like a digital static discharge. And they sound, I mean, almost kind of demonic and, I mean, just evil sounding.
And it's questionable. It's not, they don't sound like voices to me.
During one of the shows that we have ahead of us that I know we will do again, would you bring one of those up just for grins? Do you have any recordings of those?
I don't think we saved any of them. I mean, they're just not worth it. They're
okay.
We'll try to get one, though. I mean, we'll
If you do get one, just sort of include it in a CD. I'd like to hear it anyway. What it is that you are dismissing?
Okay.
All right. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with the GIS Group. Hi.
How's everybody doing tonight?
Okay, sir.
This is Matt from Southern California, Upland.
Yes, sir.
I had two suggestions for the guests tonight. One was being holes, like try recording in holes, because of that one you've got with like was probably the most crazy thing I've ever heard. With like what sounds like hell, almost the Siberian one or whatever, and And the other one would be like my friend of mine lives in a house. It used to be like a hospital back like from the way old days. I forgot the exact date, but and it's proven haunted. Like we've seen some crazy or like had some crazy experiences in there. It's just been oh man, it's weird. But I'm thinking like just because of the hospital and many people have died in there and stuff, you know. It'd be really interesting.
Right now, we are actually working on securing an investigation in a hospital.
Oh.
It's going to take some time to figure out how and when we can do it, but we are working on doing that.
An active hospital?
No, actually, it's abandoned.
Yeah, I was going to say, probably most active hospitals, if you try to go in and get into a, say the critical care area, they wouldn't let you anywhere near it. They would no more want publicity about death than the man in the moon wants his cheese to melt. You know.
Yeah, it would be nearly impossible.
So you'd have to go to sort of a decommissioned hospital, but with the work you do, that wouldn't matter.
No, huh? And really, if you think about it, a hospital would be the prime place to look. I mean. If you think of how many people have passed away in that one building.
I know. That's the one thing the hospitals, when they're alive, don't want you to think about at all. First time caller line, you're on the air with the GIS. Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, Art, this is the first time that I ever called you. My name's Lawrence, and I live in Haines City, Florida.
Yes, Lawrence.
My question is, how come that you don't get, you know, groups together, like these voices, you know, would group together. It would seem like, you know, as many people are buried in cemeteries, that you would get that from time to time, they would all talk at one time.
Where you get either multiple voices or conversations ongoing, right?
Actually, the last show we did, we had played one where it sounded almost like there was five different voices talking all at one time.
No question about it.
And, I mean, there are times that we do get EVPs like that, where you get a multitude of voices that, I mean, just obviously aren't the three members of the group that are there.
Didn't rise to the level of my Siberian hole tape, but it was very, very good. Many voices together. Okay. Wild card line, you're on the air with the GIS. Hi.
Yes. Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm calling from Fairbanks, Alaska, but my question is, what part of the country are you folks in?
We're in Utah.
You're in Utah. Have you ever tried going into California, into the gold camp country?
We have so many places that we want to go.
Well, I would think that if you're in Utah, that would be a place that would be fairly accessible. No, not too far away from you. In the foothills of California where a lot of the gold camps were, there were a lot of tragedies. And
I know.
A lot of the cemeteries there are quite old.
Yes. We have areas like that around here where we're at also. But,
yeah.
There are so many locations that we would love to get to.
Do you try mostly to go to older cemeteries?
No, not necessarily. Where we go is to locations that have had reported haunting activity taking place.
Makes sense, right?
Okay. So I found cemeteries to be very interesting places to go through.
Caller, would you take a tape recorder and go to some place like that in the middle of the night and sit there
you
and
sure
wait?
Bet I would.
You would? Boy,
I'll I would. I find all cemeteries right. to be a very interesting piece of history.
Oh, they're fantastic. They're,
yeah, they are.
And the old headstones, some of the sayings on them are just beautiful.
They are.
Okay,
thank
well,
thank you so much.
Right, you're very welcome. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with the GIS group, Brendan Cook and Barbara McBeth. Hello.
Hey, how are you doing?
Okay.
I would, first of all, this, what I'm going to tell you is not any type of plug, but I'm a little nervous, I guess.
Sorry.
But, I listen to your show a good bit, and Bob Frizzell, F-R-I-S-S-E-L-L.
I've heard the name, yes.
A lot of the things that you say on your show, your guests say, I identify with in some of his books.
Okay.
That's good. And what I called in for is I've been trying to get a friend to listen to your show. So when this one came on, I decided to record it.
Okay.
Well, you were in the middle of one of your voices. And the tape recorder went off, and I about jumped out of my skin. Thought you might get a laugh out of that.
You mean it just clicked off?
It clicked off because it was at the end of the tape.
Yeah, there'll be a lot of people who are not going to sleep fully soundly tonight.
Well, I tell you, I'm not. As a matter of fact, the room I'm in, I always feel uncomfortable in it. So I'm.
Well, when you're re-listening to your tape, be listening for an EVP.
I will, and if I have any, I will send it to you.
Okay.
But he's definitely going to hear these tapes tomorrow, so I will listen.
Well, I'll tell you something that may worry you because it worries me all the time. When we sit around and we listen to things like this and we discuss things like this, in my opinion, and this is a studied opinion over, 15 years of doing this, you invite the very thing that you're talking about. And so it makes, by magnitudes, it makes it more likely that something during the period of time you're listening to and thinking about all of this will occur. Simple as that.
I believe that.
It's like an invitation.
Yes, and when we're out on investigations, I believe just in going back over the tapes on the things that we're discussing at the times, most of the time when we get good EVP is when we're discussing what we're the topic is, the ghost.
Yep, exactly. Exactly. So, that's something to actually to consider for all of my listeners. When you listen to this sort of thing, discuss and think about this sort of thing, you do invite it. So don't be surprised. First time caller line, you're on the air with the GIS group. Good morning. Where are you?
I'm basically in the vicinity of Buford, Georgia, headed towards Atlanta.
Okay. Somewhere out there.
Yes. Great show. You had me on the edge of my seat all night. Keep me awake.
Oh, just great way to drive through the barren Georgia countryside.
Oh, yeah.
Middle of the night.
Anyway, I've got plans on getting me a tape recorder and actually trying this myself, but I was curious. In one of the earlier playbacks, you had your guest, one of the comments was that this is the point where Roger got grabbed. Have they actually had physical encounters with spirits while they were doing things like this or entities?
Oh, yes.
Like what?
Well, that clip right there that he's referring to, this over here is where Roger got grabbed. A few nights before that voice was recorded, Roger, GIS member Roger, had felt almost like a woman's hand grab his arm. I mean, it was just, he said it was long, bony fingers.
Yeah.
And as I've mentioned before, I was slapped in that same cemetery, just kind of slapped on my wrist.
I've also stood there. Jenny, our other member, she has beautiful long black hair, and I watched her hair get lifted up right in the middle of her head in the back. It lifted up like somebody would lift her hair up.
Golly, that's just unreal.
We've had many encounters with them, physical encounters.
Pay attention to the road, sir.
Yes, I always do.
Good. The bony hand part. I don't like that at all. Bony hand. So
it kind of upset him. He came rushing over to where everybody was.
Yeah, right. Bony hand. In other words, devoid of skin, just sort of sticks.
No, he said he felt a hand with long fingers. They felt like long, thin fingers.
All right. Listen, you folks, we're at the end of the, just about at the end of our trail here. Again, I want you to be able to plug your website. We've got a link on our site, but just in case, give them your website address, huh? They can hear all kinds of EVP up there, right?
Oh, yes.
I believe we actually have something, 150 EVP samples on there now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The website is www.ghostpix.com.
And they can email you there as well?
Yes, they can.
They can invite you to sites that you're able to get to?
Yes.
That sort of thing. I imagine one day somebody will call up and say, look, I'll sprout for your plane fare. I want you to come to so-and-so where we've got a haunting going on, and we'd like you to bring your equipment. You'll get that one of these days.
And hopefully that'll happen.
So you would like to be drawn to some point on the earth that would be of particular great interest.
Oh, yes.
And I suppose you're getting your plane fare paid or a place to stay, a hotel or something, wouldn't be unacceptable to the wonderful way you've conducted yourself. So I hope you get that. Listen, you two, thank you.
Thank you very much, Art. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
Good night, both of you.
Good night.
Good night, Art.
See you on the other side, if not sooner. From the high desert, ta-ta.
I've been where the eagle flies, rode his wings across autumn skies, kissed the sun, touched the moon, but he left me much too soon, his lady bird. He left his ladybird. Ladybird, come on down. I'm here waiting on the ground. Ladybird, I'll treat you good. I'll lay